The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Friday, July 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Pennsylvania state officials released updated guidance to safely reopening schools on Thursday. Some of the recommendations include requiring parents to do daily symptom screenings and limit student interactions by staggering class times. But a day after the Philadelphia School District released its reopening plan, some teachers and public health care workers are speaking out and cautioning about reopening in person. One teacher in the district says they're in poorly ventilated buildings and dealing with asbestos and other health concerns, and now COVID is being added to that. Philadelphia school officials said a key to their reopening plan is the ability to quickly shift between online learning, in-person, and a combination of the two when positive COVID-19 cases start affecting the schools.
Kathy, is there any chance that asbestos kills COVID?
I know, seriously, that would be amazing.
Because, honestly, that would be a win, right?
Yeah. They wouldn't have to redo the
schools.
That'd
be such a win.
Right. The plan outlines safety precautions, like requiring staff and students to wear masks, capping classrooms at 25 students, and disinfecting high-touch surfaces every 4 hours to keep everyone safe. This is what Philadelphia schools said. Some teachers say the plan is not feasible. Healthcare professionals say the mask breaks that the children will get, such as lunchtime, are going to pose a larger health risk. The best practice recommendations for schools outlined by the Department of Health and Education include masks must be worn by students and staff at school and on the bus. Masks can be removed when they eat or drink. This was an order signed by the Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine. Students or caregivers should do daily symptom screenings before the child leaves for school. Students and teachers and other staff are strongly encouraged to follow social distancing throughout the day with 6 feet of separation between desks and other seating. If possible, hold classes in gyms, auditoriums, or larger outdoor spaces where physical distancing can be maintained. Student seating should be facing in the same direction. Limit student interaction by staggering class times, creating one-way walking patterns in the hallways, and when feasible, keeping students in the classroom and rotating the teachers instead. For breakfast and lunch, consider serving individual packaged meals in classrooms and avoid across-the-table seating. If meals are served in a cafeteria, sit students at least 6 feet apart. Limit the number of students on playgrounds at one time and encourage social distancing. Encourage the use of virtual gatherings, events, and extracurricular activities. If you take all of these recommendations into account, the plan released by the Philadelphia School District doesn't work. 25 children in a classroom doesn't allow them to be 6 feet apart. So there may be some editing to some of these plans that the schools have
come up
with.
Sure, yeah.
Officials in Montgomery County say they are troubled by the recent lack of compliance with health guidance put in place to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Dr. Valerie Arcouche, the chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners, gave two examples during a Wednesday press briefing. A youth league sports coach who tested positive but continued coaching several games and attended a graduation party that had more than 100 attendees.
You know where this happened?
Oh, no.
Harleysville.
Oh, yeah, really? You know what? She didn't announce where it took place.
Oh, yeah.
It was in Harleysville.
It's in my, it's a mile away from my house.
Oh, my God. Wait, and just let me correct what I said. So it's actually two separate incidents. It's the coach, and he attended a 4th of July party, and then there was a second incident where it was a graduation party of 100 attendees.
Graduation party is the
that's
one.
That's what happened.
And then some lifeguards at a community pool.
Yeah, so it's been connected to that. Right.
And now, and from what I understand, the pool didn't know about the symptoms and that people were being tired. The person... that they were being close to this person who had it. They didn't let the members know about
it. Yeah, so that's part. That's the whole part of what
was this the graduation party you went to scam some beers?
Yeah. We were low. Listen, this is, this is right in my backyard, dude. Stupid.
Well, this is what Arcouche is saying is that they're not cooperating with them. People went to these parties, they didn't they weren't able to contact the other people at the party because this guy didn't give names.
Okay, so this guy knew that he had it.
So let me give you the story. According to Arkush, the coach admitted to the county contact tracing team to not always practicing social distancing and not always wearing his mask. Because of this, the Office of Public Health recommended that 12 players and all three other coaches be quarantined for a 14-day period. Arkush categorized the coach as partially cooperating with the contact tracing team, but not completely. Contact tracers learned that the coach attended a 4th of July party while infected. However, Arkush said that the coach was unwilling to give the names of the others at the party. This meant that the team could not notify others that they had come in contact with someone who had tested positive for COVID-19.
I don't get it. Well, is that now a finable offense, or are they there? I know in some areas they're attempting to exact a fine. I don't know if that's legal to do that. I think it's the right thing to do. You should do it out of deference to other people's health. I don't know what would stop someone from giving up that information.
I have no idea.
Just to help other people, perhaps, especially if those people, maybe, well, not at risk themselves, could pass something on to someone who is
at risk. That's the point of the whole of this,
yes.
But I mean, maybe is it like a little bit of embarrassment that that he knew he had it and went to this party and now he's being called out about it?
So he knew he had it and went to these places.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
That's my understanding.
Non-cooperation with contact tracers.
Well, what did the people say at the party?
Can result in outbreaks that are substantial and can infect many, many, many people in our community, she said. Arkush also cited a large graduation party at the end of June that had more than 100 people in attendance. She said there was no mask wearing and no social distancing. It was identified to the Office of Public Health that attendees were sharing drinks and vape pens. Several positive cases have been identified as possibly being affected at the party. Arkush said they believe several other cases from the party, but the people who tested positive have not admitted to being at the party. Arkush said that they believe many others could have been exposed but have not been able to notify them because the party goers that they were aware that they did not share the names. County officials do know that the positive cases spread the virus to first responders, pool lifeguards, and other groups who have regular contact with the public.
Yeah. Okay. I have nothing to say here.
Okay.
Arkush said
the defense rests.
Yeah. Well, I know. I know you're speechless. It's like, dude, just do your freaking part.
I know.
Do your part.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
We're all in this together, a hole. So please, just
these
do
are
your
uncertain
part.
Times.
These are uncertain times. Yep.
Arkush said the decision are making today will manifest fully in 4 to 6 weeks, just when children are preparing to return to school. She did not say what party the counties were in, but Preston, we learned that it's possibly Harleysville. She said the county never releases the names of positive cases, so people who test positive should coordinate with the contact tracing team, because otherwise you're not going to be able to let these people know.
And this story in particular is helping inform us on our decision of whether or not send our kids to school. I mean, right there in our community. So,
I mean, listen, before it was COVID, it was things like the common cold. Don't send your child to school if he's got the cold.
It was like an unwritten rule for parents.
Yeah. Like, you just don't do it.
Don't send your kid to school.
So take out COVID, right? For anybody out there that's like, that's a hoax, a scam.
Right.
Take that out of the picture. If you're sick, don't go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was a basketball coach this past year. I was sick and I didn't go. Yeah. And that was before I knew anything about COVID. I didn't want to get my kids sick because that stuff spreads. Don't go. God damn it.
You have nothing to say about this.
I have nothing to say. I'm not going to say anything. But, like, when you insert the words coronavirus or COVID, and now it all becomes this hot button topic.
If
you have the flu, don't go to work.
Whatever it may be.
If you have a cold, don't go to work.
Absolutely. What he said.
Exactly.
He doesn't have anything to say. I'm not adding anything for fear he has even more no words.
You're right. I feel your frustration, Casey.
Philadelphia gyms and fitness centers can reopen on Monday. The announcement came as a surprise for gym owners. According to Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley, everyone in a gym will have to wear a mask and maintain 6-foot distance throughout their visit. Classes must have less than 10 people and outdoor exercise is encouraged. Dr. Farley said officials will be conducting unscheduled inspections and will make changes if businesses are not following the rules. If people are not masked during the inspection, the gym will be closed, Farley said. Also, if spread of COVID-19 is identified in a gym, that gym will be closed down. If you find it difficult to exercise with a mask on, don't go to the gym, Farley says. Outdoor exercise is strongly being suggested, even though these businesses are able to reopen their doors. Farley announced 157 additional confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the city, bringing the number of confirmed cases to 28,024. There were 18 additional deaths.
Speaking of outdoor exercise, I know about one gym downtown that has an outdoor area for exercise. It's a gym, and they have a little courtyard area. Do you guys know about many gyms around where you can be a gym member?
There's one in Souderton, man. It's got all this like jungle gym equipment outside, out front.
Oh,
and I'm like,
cool.
If my shoulder wasn't bad, it looks awesome. And so the outdoor and those outdoor exercise trails.
Yes. See that gym? That's the gym where I think I would consider working out.
But I know what you're talking about. And there are a lot of parks that have those trails that have pull up bars and
one in the Wissahickon.
Apparatus. And there's down on. East River Drive.
I run a class in our own parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
You got those tires that you can lift over and stuff?
Absolutely.
Nice.
I take them off the cars.
I think most gyms, like restaurants, you know, who don't normally do, say, outdoor dining, the gyms are now doing outdoor classes. They're taking a lot of stuff outside and leaving stuff out there so people can come and work out outside.
I saw a guy the other day, Casey, had a javelin class. And he's a trainer.
Dude.
But people are doing this because it's an outdoor activity that's aerobic and exercise. And, it was pretty neat.
When you throw it, between the time it's thrown and it ends up on the other, it has to be wiped off before it hits the ground.
Right. I was riding my bike through Cooper River Park yesterday in Jersey.
Stay at home.
I don't have any symptoms. That's another part that you brought it up, Steve. If you're asymptomatic, I get it that you're out and about, right? So anyway, but I saw classes out by the river, like a whole bunch of different types of classes that I thought was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, that's the only thing I've been doing. I haven't gone inside the gym yet. I've done everything outside.
Yeah, and it's been beautiful too. So I've been going out and running. By the way,
just be careful this weekend.
Yeah, it's
going to
be 120 degrees.
Yes. Uh-huh. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Washington's NFL team hired an attorney to review the organization's protocols, including its culture, policies, and allegations of workplace misconduct. The move was made while speculation swirled around a story by the Washington Post. The story involves allegations of 15 former employees, all women, of sexual harassment by former scouts and members of owner Dan Snyder's inner circle. Within the past week, front office members Richard Mann and Alex Santos, as well as radio play-by-play voice Larry Michael, left the organization. All three are accused of misconduct in the Washington Post story. The NFLPA database shows that 72 NFL players were known to have tested positive for the coronavirus as of July 10th. The NFL and the Players Association continue to negotiate rules for training camps, which may begin later this month, and the regular season is supposed to begin in September. And in sad news, Tony Taylor, a second baseman who played 15 of his 19 big league seasons with the Phillies and was inducted into their Wall of Fame in 2002, died following complications of a stroke suffered in 2019. He was 84 years old. Taylor was born in 1935 in Cuba and made his major league debut in 1958 at the age of 22. He was acquired by the Phillies in May of 1960 and was an all-star that season. Taylor also played for the Tigers and then returned to the Phils for his final three seasons until 1976. He batted .261 with 298 doubles, 86 triples, 75 home runs, 598 RBIs, 1,005 runs, and 234 stolen bases in 2,195 career games. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome, welcome all. A Friday has landed right where it's supposed to be, and we are happy about that. So happy that we will have a chance for you to win our Word of the Week prize. Yep, we're going to let you do that. Pizeek Round Barbecue and Fire Pit Kit, which we'll give away from Landis Block at the end of today's program. So we hope you'll stick around for the entire show. We also have some other stuff going on. We have a few tchotchkes things to give to you throughout the course of the morning, so make sure you don't miss out. And we have guest-wise guitarist Vernon Reed of the band Living Color. Now, why are we having Vernon Reed on? Well, there was a Twitter exchange in which he gave a really cool peek into the band's history as far as when like Cult of Personality broke and had them, you know, usher into the world of rock. And he had credited WMMR as breaking the song.
Yeah.
Just really cool.
A nod, and we're like, oh, we got to get him on.
And which is interesting because us being employees here for the past 15-plus years, you know, we don't really know all of the history of the radio station. I didn't know. I know MMR has broken a lot of music over the years, but...
I know they hired Kathy.
He kind of credits MMR for breaking the record and therefore opening up the door. And I'm curious as to, because some bands will put out their best effort, and if it doesn't hit, then it's like, guys, we gave it a great run.
Right.
We gave it a shot, and I'm sorry, but we're going to have to find real jobs now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who knows what bands we may have seen because they missed out on the opportunity. But MMR was integral in them breaking as artists, so we're going to chat with them about that later on this morning. I thought it was a pretty cool little thing. So we have that, and I don't know what the hell else going on today. We'll find many things.
Nice text came in for you, Preston. I think you'd like to read this.
It says, here we go, says... Preston's voice is like coffee for me. In the morning, I need to hear it or else I get a headache. Is that weird?
Wow.
The way they wake up.
Well, very nice. So your weekends must suck with those headaches you have. but listen, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. I have a ton of entertainment stories to get to, so let's not stop the entertainment.
No!
Let's come back in a moment and get right to it. We'll have a stupid question, and yes, courtesy of Casey, we have one that finishes the theme of all the stupid questions this week. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do our final stupid question of the week. Going to give away a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card, and this one courtesy of Casey. It's been a movie line thing every day this week, and here's the question. This is the most obscure one yet, but here we go. Are you sure? All right, and I had to say it that way in order for you to hopefully have it ring a bell, okay? Are you sure? What's the answer to that? 215-263-WMMR. Call now, and let's see if we can get a winner. I'll go through some birthdays Friday, July 17th. Kill a little bit of time while we're waiting for your call to come in. It is the great David Hasselhoff's birthday.
Oh my God. The legend
is celebrating his 68th birthday today.
So first soap opera, right? Was it As the World Turns? What was his soap opera?
I don't know, but I think you're right. He was a soap guy.
Soap dude into Knight Rider.
Yep.
Into Baywatch.
Yes.
Into SpongeBob SquarePants the movie.
And Baywatch Nights.
Baywatch Nights, the X-Files like spinoff. And one of the greatest videos ever made, the Locomotion video.
Oh, that's right. And then he did some other, you remember the outrageous video he did where he's like flying on a dinosaur?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It was all this bizarre, surreal.
Was that hooked on a field?
No.
It was years after.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Or did they redo it with that song?
Yeah, that was the song playing in the background. I think Casey's right.
Man, but it was insane. So, yeah.
You know what?
But he gets it.
Yeah. He gets him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's funny in Dodgeball when he's berating the German team.
Oh, my God. It's been so long since I've seen it. But, yeah, he's 68 today, the Hoff, David Hasselhoff. It is also Camilla Parker Bowles' birthday, the wife of Prince Charles. I forgot her distinction, her title.
She's unattractive.
She's unattractive.
You're very unattractive and homely, Camilla. You know what, though? The boys, as they'll go by, they actually adore Camilla Parker Bowles, even though obviously they loved their mother, Princess Diana, but she was between the proverbial rock and a hard place because remember the whole scandal about Charles saying he wanted to be her tampon?
Yeah, they were talking on the phone and he was joking. He's like, well, it could be maybe if I was a Tampax or something along those lines. And that was a huge scandal, of course.
That one I'd prefer to forget. But when you watch the Queen, or the Crown, I mean, they really paint them as falling in love earlier on in life. And then she married somebody else and he married somebody
else. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. He always pined for her,
right.
Which amazes me. But there you go.
Yep. So 73 today. The great Donald Sutherland is way up there. He's 85 years old.
I just watched Ad Astra, which I was telling you about, Preston, the Brad Pitt movie about space. And
how is it?
I really liked it. It's not great, but the space scenes, Steve, are really well done. And
it was on yesterday. I was catching a little bit of it.
Brad Pitt's great, but Donald Sutherland and Tommy Lee Jones are both in it, and they were both in that space movie, Space Cowboys.
Space Cowboys, yeah, yeah.
But Donald Sutherland sort of plays this protective figure to Brad Pitt for a bit, and he's great. It's good to see him.
And everything from
the Animal House.
Dirty Dozen. In MASH, Animal House, yep. Hunger Games, you know, man still works. 85 years old today. PJ Souls, Steve, you know,
yes.
From Carrie and Halloween and Rock and Roll High School and Stripes.
Who did we just.
70 years old.
70.
Today. Wow.
Who did we just say she was married to? She was married to somebody
famous. I
remember
you saying that, and I don't remember who it was. I don't know.
Mitch All McConnell. Right.
Mitch McConnell? All right.
I don't think it's that.
It wasn't. All right. So who do you call it was married to Kevin Klein? That was Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates.
Yesterday was
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so she's 70 today. Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath. He is also turning 70 years old. And Sabbath still, you know, a lot of they still get new fans. It's pretty wild, man.
We found out that there were multiple drum kits at Live Aid, and there was one black drum kit specifically for Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath, yeah. So happy 70th to Geezer Butler. Also, John Ventimiglia, who played Artie Bucco on The Sopranos. He is 57 years old.
It's just Big Pussy's birthday.
That is correct, yep. Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, is celebrating her 66th birthday.
A lot of people probably know her as Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
As a child, she was Ricky Schroeder.
Yes, she was Ricky Schroeder.
No kidding, yeah.
Local fella, Mike Vogel, actor. We've had him on the show a few times. He was in, I think, Cloverfield is where we first...
We worked with him, didn't we? Pressed it on The Mechanic?
I think we did. Mike yes, Vogel I forgot about our time together.
Yeah. Was he in that dome?
Yes, he was in Under the Dome.
Yeah.
And The Help and a number of movies. He's 41 today. And then the last birthday I saw is Billy Lord. Billy Lord is daughter of Carrie Fisher, granddaughter of Debbie Reynolds.
Oh, Billy.
And she was in Scream Queens.
And she's also in American Horror Story 1984.
Ah.
And she is like this, Preston, this sexy, slutty, you know, Jane Fonda workout sort of girl.
Okay.
And, but she's a sociopath, but she's great.
All right. Excellent. She celebrates her 28th birthday.
Lord.
All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to our final cryptic question this morning. And the question is, are you sure? What's the answer to that? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Jen, are you sure?
Positive.
That is correct. Well done. It is from my cousin Vinny. And it's when Joe Pesci is asking, what's her face?
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei about the tire marks. And she's on the stand and he goes, are you sure? And she goes, I'm positive. All right. So, Jen, you got it right. And we are going to give you a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. Summer's here. You can catch flavors of the season at Bonefish Grill and enjoy Key West ahi tuna topped with roasted shrimp, fresh tomatoes, and avocados finished with a sweet chili mango vinaigrette. You can pair it perfectly with the coral reef punch and order delivery via DoorDash or Uber Eats, or you can dine in. You can visit bonefishgrill.com. A lot to get to and not a lot of time, so let's dive in. Nick Cannon has announced that he is taking time off from his nationally syndicated radio show.
Huh, what happened?
Following the fallout of his recent anti-Semitic comments, Cannon announced via Twitter yesterday, I've decided to take some time away from my radio show so I can commit myself to deeper, more thoughtful or thorough reflection and education. I continue to express my gratitude to the rabbis, community leaders, and institutions who have reached out to me to help enlighten me. He said, their input and friendship will help me as I further commit myself to more profound learning and towards strengthening the bond between the black and Jewish cultures every day going
forward. What if he comes back a full Hasidic rabbi?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Meanwhile, Rabbi Abram Cooper, who had a conversation with Nick earlier this week and explained to him why Jewish people may be offended by his statements, told TMZ that Nick is seeking enlightenment. Cooper said that he spoke to Nick on the phone and said that he was apologetic up front, but more importantly, he listened when Cooper explained how his comments were hateful and harmful. So he's spending some time with some people that can help him out. All right. But the best stuff comes in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard. Here we go. More stuff for you.
Better than poop in the bed?
Nothing's ever going to be better than poop in the bed. This is still good stuff.
That's the brass ring on the merry-go-round.
So another series of alarming revelations, including testimony from his exes, Winona Ryder and Vanessa Paradis, video footage of Johnny following an alleged assault, and a tale of bribery involving tacos and a homeless man.
Mm.
That's
love
pretty good
it.
Stuff.
That's good stuff. So, I would watch that show.
So Winona Ryder, who was previously engaged to Johnny in the 1990s, and Vanessa Paradis, who he shares two children, gave evidence via written statement on Thursday in London's High Court. Ryder had said, in part, "I knew Johnny very well years ago. We were together as a couple for 4 years, and I counted him as my best friend and as close to me as family. I count on a relationship as one of the more significant relationships of my life. I understand that it is very important that I speak from my own experience, as I obviously was not there during his marriage to Amber. But from my experience, which was so wildly different, I was absolutely shocked, confused, and upset when I heard the accusations against him. The idea that he is an incredibly violent person is the farthest thing from the Johnny I knew and loved.
You go, girl.
I cannot wrap my head around these accusations. He was never, never violent towards me. He was never, never abusive at all towards me, and he has never been violent or abusive towards anybody I have seen."
You remember he had a tattoo, Winona. And yeah. When the relationship broke up, he had it changed into Wino. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
She said, "I truly and honestly only know him as a really good man, an incredibly loving, extremely caring guy, who he was so protective of me and the people that he loves, and I felt so very, very safe with him."
Look at that.
"I do not want to call anyone a liar, but from my experience of Johnny, it is impossible to believe that such horrific allegations are true. I find it extremely upsetting knowing him as I do."
Well, she's high profile, too. I can't imagine that won't help affect the outcome of this proceeding, because you have a couple of big people stepping up in support of him.
Now, right. Vanessa Paradis, who was with Johnny for 14 years until their 2012 split, said, "I am aware of the allegations, which Amber Heard has publicly accused Johnny of more than four years now. This is nothing like the true Johnny I have known, and from my personal experience of many years, I can say he was never violent or abusive to me. I have seen that these outrageous statements have been really distressing and also caused damage to his career, because unfortunately people have gone on believing these false facts. This is so upsetting, as he has helped so many persons in his personal and professional life with kindness and generosity."
Mm-hmm.
She never had any.
Yeah, they were together for years.
She was doing this very much like this.
Meanwhile, footage of Depp pacing around an elevator after he left their apartment following the final fight of their marriage was shown. Depp's former security guard, a guy named Sean Bett, admitted that Johnny had been extremely agitated before the showdown, which was a day after his mother had died, adding that they entered the apartment when Heard started shouting at the top of her lungs. And he said, "As soon as Miss Heard noticed that we had entered the room, she looked very surprised. Her demeanor then changed. She pointed at Mr. Depp and screamed to us words to the effect of, 'If he hits me one more time, I'm calling the police.'" Bett added that Depp was 20 feet away from Heard, who showed no signs of injury, and that Depp was, in fact, the one injured. She showed up.
Oh, man, this is, listen, we don't know. We don't know exactly what went on, but all the stuff that's coming out so far that you've said over the past couple of days paints Heard as some sort of sociopath.
Yep. He said she showed up at court days later with marks on her face, although several witnesses have said that they were not there when they saw her after the alleged attack.
I forget why this is being held in London. Do you guys remember?
Because it's a London tabloid.
It's the Sun.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. All right. So another security guard, this guy named Starling Jenkins, also testified that Heard forced him to buy Depp's phone from a homeless man for $425, three tacos, and other snacks.
Wait, what?
After she had thrown it off a balcony after a fight. I'll explain.
Okay.
So he said, "When I entered the residence, Amber explained to me that she had thrown Johnny's cell phone and the wallet containing it off the balcony the night before." He said, "The Find My iPhone application indicated that Johnny's phone was somewhere on the streets below the balcony of the residence. Eventually talked to a homeless man who had it and talked him into giving it back. He said he returned the phone to me in exchange for the following: $425, 3 chicken tacos, 2 bags of chips, 2 apples, and 4 bottles of water.
What a deal. What a deal.
Wow. And that's it. That's all I have for you. But
that's it, huh?
I have a Find My Hobo app on my phone, and it'll allow me to locate whatever hobo I happen to be working with at the time.
Listen, what we've read so far, yes, seems to indicate that, she...
I've determined that she may not be worth her looks.
It's pretty interesting. So, anyhow, the case continues, as you would know.
When will it wrap up? Do you have any indication on when these stories...
Oh, it wrapped up a week ago. It's just too much fun.
Yeah, we're still rolling it up. On Sunday, Chuck Woolery wrote, "The most outrageous lies are the ones about COVID-19. Everyone is lying. The CDC, media, Democrats, our doctors, not all, but most, and that they were... that we are told to trust. I think it's all about the election and keeping the economy from coming back, which is about the election. I'm sick of it." Donald Trump retweeted that, by the way. And on Monday, he tempered his message slightly, writing, and this is Chuck Woolery writing this, "To further clarify and add perspective, COVID-19 is real and it is here. My son tested positive for the virus. And I feel for those suffering, and especially for those who have lost loved ones." He's done a bit of an about face here. By Wednesday night, his account was completely deleted, and it's unclear if his son's diagnosis, the blowback he received to the original tweet, or if something else caused him or Twitter to remove his account. So he had a pretty bold statement coming out, and now his son has apparently tested positive. So that's pretty wild. You know what's funny about Chuck Woolery? Is I sometimes confuse him for David Hasselhoff.
Really?
I know. It's like my...
I can see that.
Yeah. Well, it's the my Kurt Russell and Dennis Quaid thing.
Right.
They're nothing alike.
No.
But for some reason, I always confuse them with each other.
Well, I used to watch Kurt Russell when he hosted Wheel of Fortune. And
there you go. Yeah. And now I got 4 of them confused. So.
All right. So hang on. What did he host? He hosted Love Connection?
Love Connection. And he also hosted another game show, but I forget which one it was.
Well, he was Wheel of Fortune originally. He was the original.
Was he Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah. Okay, Chuck Woolery was the original host of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The gift certificate and all that stuff.
Yeah. Let's go shopping. And then...
did he do any of those
He also hosted a show I actually liked, which was called Lingo. I don't know if you guys remember that or
not. That's it, yep.
It was kind of a word spelling.
Connie thing. Lingo.
No, not Connie Lingo.
Anal Lingo. Analingo.
You made it better.
Oh, my God. No, I didn't, but whatever.
Anal Lingo. Okay. Let's see. Speaking of game shows, Alex Trebek is feeling good. The Jeopardy host,
and he hopes you are too,
released a video update Thursday explaining that despite the production shutdown caused by COVID-19 and his battle with pancreatic cancer, he hopes to return to the studio soon. I believe we have a clip.
We do.
Of Mr. Trebek. Here we go.
As many of you know, whenever there's a break in our Jeopardy tape schedule, I often take that opportunity to grow some facial hair. Clearly, I've been doing that while waiting for us to safely return to the studio, which I hope will be very, very soon. I'm doing well. I've been continuing my treatment, and it is paying off, though it does fatigue me a great deal. My numbers are good. I'm feeling great. My wish for all of you, stay safe.
Nice.
What a class act, for Christ's sake. And my wife and I sit there every night going, they could easily do this show. It's no problem to space out the contestants. The audience doesn't mean anything. Keep Alex on the other side of a plexiglass screen.
Yeah.
You know, the whole deal. It's already spaced out to begin with. All you need to do is separate the contestants a little bit more. But it's not audience-driven. So, you know, let's get back to it.
Yeah, the contestants don't even have to be right next to each other.
They do not. In fact, it'd be better because when they do that final Jeopardy question, mm-hmm. they have to raise those partitions, mm-hmm. all that stuff, space it out. I just fixed it.
His memoir, The Answer Is, Reflections of My Life, will drop on July 21st, just one day before his 80th birthday.
Man, I hope he does interviews in support of that. We'd love to get him on the show.
Most definitely. Chris Rock got his first tattoo at age 55, and he did it with one of his daughters. He shares Lola, Zara, and let's see. He shares Lola, 18, Zara, 16, his ex, with his ex, Malak Compton. Bang Bang Tattoo in New York City shared pics of the pair on Instagram. Rock had opted for a Basquiat crown on his shoulder. Basquiat, is that how you say the artist's
name? Basquiat.
Basquiat.
Mm-hmm.
Crown on his shoulder. And they got, to, it says, his together got the same.
His together got the same?
Aw, that's cool.
Maybe his daughter got the same with a dinosaur.
We pay for this service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. His together got the same.
Uh-huh. His together got the same, everybody.
My together and I are going out this afternoon. Oh, little cool. Daddy and together.
Together got the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be nice. It's okay. It looks nice. It's a little crown on his shoulder.
Yeah, that's cool. It's pretty basic.
Yeah. And he's got a huge monkey between his nipples.
No. Who? I saw a picture of that guy.
I sent that to you guys.
Did you see him recently?
No, man. I don't know why I got it sent to me.
All right. Anyway, moving on. Rob Kardashian plans on keeping up with the Kardashians again.
He's going to rejoin the show?
His sister Khloe shared, my brother's coming back around.
Yeah.
He's feeling more confident and comfortable. I think he just, started a whole new season.
What does that mean?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Rob made an unofficial return to the limelight at Khloe's birthday party in June, by the way. That's how you return to the limelight? You go to your sister's birthday party?
Yeah, wow, man. That's heavy duty. He has lost a fair amount of weight, though.
Yeah?
He needs to get rid of that dumb baseball cap he always wears, though, and clean things up a bit. But he has lost weight. He looks better. He looks healthier. Don't keep at it so I can ignore you as a slim man.
Two and a half men star, and I don't know this woman, Conchita Farrell.
Yes, you do know her.
I do?
She's a character actress. If you were to see a picture of her, you'd know her immediately.
Okay. She's fighting for her life, apparently. The 77-year-old was transferred to a long-term care facility. She had a heart attack.
She was like the housekeeper on the show, right?
Yes, she was, yeah.
Oh, I know. Yes. You know what? She was. Was she in?
She's in Deeds, Mr. Deeds. She's the one that kicks Winona Ryder's ass.
The one I'm thinking of is Erin Brockovich. That's right. She's kind of the bitchy one in The Office. Yeah. Where she, you know,
Brenda.
Yeah, where Julie Roberts, Erin Brockovich is like, you want to look a little closer, sweetheart? You know, like really has it out. Yeah. Oh, this is sad. Her husband Arnie said that she suddenly went into cardiac arrest. Which lasts for about 10 minutes. She is not currently able to talk or communicate. So sad news there. Hopefully she'll recover, though. 77 years old. Controversial YouTube star Jake Paul has stepped in it again, this time for hosting a huge party at his California mansion despite the COVID-19 resurgence. Footage from the party showed dozens of people packed into his home without masks. And according to Calabasas Mayor Alicia Weintraub, she said it's really just a party acting like COVID does not exist. It's acting that businesses aren't closed.
Didn't Jake Paul get in trouble, too, for wandering through a mall that was being looted and taking footage?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he's this guy's kind of an idiot.
Cara Delevingne and Kaia Gerber were looking cozy. They were at a Black Lives Matter protest on Wednesday.
They were hugging up a storm.
Delevingne and Gerber were photographed embracing outside the Hall of Justice in L.A.
Yeah, that's where Batman and Superman
That's
are.
Right. They do meet there. Even the Flash stops him from time to time.
They're the new Wonder Twins.
Delevingne was also seen with a hand on Gerber's waist. In May, Delevingne split from longtime love Ashley Benson. Benson has moved on with musician G-Eazy. Gerber, meanwhile, dated Pete Davidson earlier this year and then was linked to Cole Sprouse after he split from Lily Reinhart.
So Benson was actually just a butler and is now a governor, which is amazing.
Yeah. It was very popular.
Yeah. You'd think, honestly,
that's like six ways I don't know.
And it works that way all the time. They never go outside their world.
Mm-hmm.
They would never give us a shot, Preston.
Never. Former race car driver Danica Patrick and Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers are no longer a couple.
What?
Yep, a rep for Patrick told E! News yesterday. The two had been dating since 2017, and there had been speculation over the past week that they'd broken up. Patrick wasn't in Lake Tahoe, where Rodgers competed in golf's American Century Championship, and had also stopped following him on Instagram.
Yeah, looks like she's taking the air in the cage. I think she's taking off the Aaron Rodgers pictures on her account.
Yeah, Nick is scanning through her photos on Instagram, and I don't see any.
Nick is scanning.
It's funny, though, man. Two of them. That's just a clear indication of a breakup. Once those photos are removed, you know that she's single again.
Like a bad breakup. Not even, like.
I know. Oh, like, here's one. Yeah, they went to Machu Picchu together.
You don't take down Machu Picchu.
Well, you're never over Machu Picchu.
Yeah. No, I'll never get over Machu Picchu.
Right.
In the realm of racing, Preston, as this light offshoot of this conversation, have you seen Ford versus Ferrari?
Not yet, no.
God damn, it's good.
Really good?
It's really good.
Okay, it's got great.
Honestly, this could be one of those perennials where whenever it's on, you watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then I will give it time for sure. One more quick thing, then we have a few movie things to get to. Hailey Bieber is saying she's sorry after she got publicly called out by hostess Julie Carolin on TikTok.
Okay, so she was, I was reading about this, she was assessing different celebrities and how kind they were.
Yes. Okay. Who's Hailey Bieber again?
She is Justin Bieber's wife.
Yeah, it's not Haley Steinfeld. What was her?
Baldwin.
Baldwin.
She's a Baldwin.
She's a Baldwin.
Haley Bieber was a Baldwin?
Yes.
And now she's a Bieber.
I think Stephen Baldwin is her father.
Haley Bieber was a Baldwin. So she is saying sorry. She participated in, this is hostess Julia Carolin on TikTok, participated in a series calling out celebrity participants. Celebrities participants had previously met and rating them on their behavior. Carolin said she had worked as a hostess in a fancy Manhattan restaurant, and she encountered multiple celebrities. She rated her interactions with Gigi and Bella Hadid as 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Oh, I like they were that. So nice and super polite and friendly with the staff.
Don't you like to hear that, since we're such big Hadid fans?
Which Carolin, by the way, noted is rare for celebrities. Then she shared her encounter with Bieber. She said, "This is going to be controversial. I've met her a handful of times, and every time she was not nice."
Uh-oh.
She said, "I really want to like her, but I have to give her a 3.5 out of 10. Sorry."
Oh, that's an abysmal rating.
Bieber wrote in the comments of Carolin's video, "Just came across this video and wanted to say so sorry if I've ever given you bad vibes or a bad attitude. That's not ever my intention." She added, "Hate hearing that was your experience with me, but glad you called me out so I can do better. Hopefully we meet again so I can apologize in person." You know, that's actually pretty nice.
Have her killed.
Have her killed. Yeah, she's pretty gorgeous. Nick pulled up her Instagram.
That's Haley, or that's the chick?
That's Haley.
That's okay. Haley Bieber. Haley Bieber was a Baldwin. After seeing Bieber's comments, Carolin replied, "Hi, Haley."
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
"We love an accountability queen." Crown emoji.
Yeah.
"Thanks, SM. Thanks so much for taking the time to apologize. I hope we can meet again one day and start over. X."
There you go.
The clip
is all fixed.
And the clip has been seen and liked more than 2.6 million times.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It's all a buzz.
It literally makes you want to vomit.
All right, it's Friday. No sad bro.
No sad bro.
And it's time to find out what movies are opening this weekend. If there are indeed movies opening this weekend. I had a text the other day asking if that was Seamus.
No. I mean, but it sounds like him, but no, he's the one who introduced me to that.
Okay. All right. Movies opening today. Ghosts of War, starring Brenton Thwaites and Alan Ritchson.
That's what you use at the gym. You pick up your Thwaites.
Thwaites. Five battle-hardened American soldiers are assigned to hold a French chateau near the end of World War II, formerly occupied by the Nazi High Command. This unexpected respite quickly descends into madness when they encounter a supernatural enemy far more terrifying than anything seen on the battlefield. It's rated R. It's a horror film directed by Eric Bress, and it is 94 minutes long. So far, a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So yeah, I'm going to check it out.
It's a war movie with a supernatural twist to it. You don't really see those.
There was one actually just a while ago that J.J. Abrams did called Overlord.
Yes.
Okay. Did you see that one by any chance? Okay, that's sort of zombies and the Nazi program to work with the occult.
Right.
It's interesting. Very interesting.
This is more ghosty.
Yeah.
All right. And also opening this weekend is Human Capital, starring Liev Schreiber and Marissa Tomei. We were just talking about her. The lives of two families become fatefully intertwined following an impulsive business deal and a tragic hit-and-run accident in Mark Myers' adaptation of Paolo Verizzi's award-winning 2014 drama. No rating on it, and it is a drama, and it's directed by Mark Myers. And it is 97 minutes long, has 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
It actually did list that it's in some theaters, so apparently some theaters are open.
Oh. Okay.
Not in this area, but wherever theaters are sold.
Okay. And then we do the clips. It's been over 2 years since we last saw Dr. Laszlo Kreisler and his 19th century crime investigations on TNT's The Alienist. And in this clip, star Luke Evans talks about returning to his role in the series.
It's the first time I've had to revisit a character. And to come back a year later, it's interesting to work out what you can develop about a human being within a year of their life, but what stays the same. It's an interesting delve into the psychology of human beings. What changes?
Really?
Yeah. So this, the season two. Premiere of The Alienist is Sunday at 9. That's on TNT. Here's the next clip. The TV series Black Monday integrates both humor and drama into the story of the 1980s stock market crash. In this clip, star Don Cheadle discusses balancing comedic and serious tones.
I think I'm always trying to do both. I think if it's a very dramatic and a very serious setting, you're trying to find the comedy in it and really push, if you can, the boundaries of the character. How far can he go in both of these directions? It's like, when can this murderer be funny? And when can this hilarious guy destroy you emotionally? And that's always what I've selfishly wanted to try to figure out.
Velociraptor.
New episode of Black Monday premiere Sunday at 8. That's on Showtime.
I love this show, and there's a scene at the end of the first episode where he ends up doing coke with his robot, and the New York Minute by Don Henley's playing in the background, and it's the weirdest, most surreal scene, but it's oddly touching because he's lonely, and the only relationship that he has that means anything to him at the moment is with this robot that's like the robot from Rocky IV. It's so bizarre, but it's really wow. Well done. It's a great show.
Robot from Rocky IV, cocaine, and Don Henley. You can't get more 80s than that.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
That's right in the heart of it. All right. And there you go. Your chock full entertainment report this morning. Let's take a break. Come back in just a moment. But I'd like to give something away just for fun. I have a Flyers playoff T-shirt. We had JVR on yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
And we're getting excited for Flyer season. And they are now available along with a newly assembled lineup of playoff merch featuring the player slogan anytime, anywhere. We'll take caller number 14, 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget, you can get it to the Flyers New Era Team Store at Wells Fargo Center, which is now open Monday through Friday from 1 to 6 p.m., or order online for curbside pickup or delivery at shop.wfcphilly.com. But we'll take caller 14, and we will give you that T-shirt for free. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Monday nights just got a lot louder. Join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for massive amounts of Metallica every Monday night starting at 9. Yeah. From the monster hits to deeper album cuts, spanning a Hall of Fame career, we're covering all the bases from one of rock's biggest bands. Check out WMMR.com for more from Metallica. Rock news, videos, and interviews with MMR DJs.
So true, Jackson.
The new and improved Metallica Mondays. 9 p.m. with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
The stock has been piling up a tad bit, and I think it's time to clean off the shelves. So it's time to head to the general store for some odds and ends. And we're going to see what we can find.
There's the proprietor, Preston Elliott. He's always behind the counter, making sure that everything you need is on the shelves. Let's see what's in the store today.
Somebody died. So we're going to talk
There's
about
that. There's a dead
that.
Body there. Yeah.
let's dust off the corpse. Award-winning U.S. author Joanna Cole, who wrote The Magic School Bus and other series, by the way, had passed away. She was 75 years old.
She wrote that, and she was the creator of To Catch a Predator.
Oh, I did. Had no idea.
I know that a lot of people are very much enamored of this series. I wasn't that familiar with it. Were your kids interested in it at all?
A little bit, but yeah. It wasn't a go-to for
sure.
Us, but they were familiar with it. She lived in Sioux City, Iowa. She died on July 12th.
And she was oddly enough hit by a bus.
Oh, no. Wouldn't that just be ironic? It was launched in 1986, The Magic School Bus, which was a science series. And it was illustrated by Bruce Deegan, who had said, What Joanna has meant to the world, what there is in the world because of her, is well known. What she meant to me, I can't describe.
Aww.
Everyone who knew her, worked with her, loved her, and knows what a loss it is. The series has 13 core titles and dozens more connected titles. And there are more than 93 million copies in print across.
And this is Little Richard.
13 countries. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's right. He did the theme song. And we brought it up recently because it was Elizabeth Banks, I think, is going to be starring in, they're going to do a series or a film.
Yeah, and it might be for Netflix, and she's going to be the bus driver.
Yeah, she's actually, Cole was born in Newark, New Jersey. Or is it Newark, Delaware? It's Newark, New Jersey.
She's born in both.
Newark, New Jersey, Newark, Delaware. Newark, New Jersey in 1944. As a child, she loved science, and her passion continued into adulthood. So, unfortunately, she passed away. But what a success. What a, you know, if you are a kid's author and you strike a tone.
Forget it.
You've hit. You've hit the gold mine.
You need that magical thing, though. The same way that we were, you know, the floor is lava.
Yeah.
You know, it just hit. It just had the right, it just wedged right in there and got it. Brian Regan's bit, it's a classic bit about writing a kid's book and how, he, you know, the clock goes tick.
Yeah.
Turn the page.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any idiot could write a kid's book, right?
But it isn't so.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be something special about it for it to take.
You know who does a good series of stuff? It's for a little bit older than just kids, but Gene Beretta, our friend Gene Beretta.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of great books on history and stuff, and they're really wonderfully illustrated. That's the kind of ability you need to communicate to kids in that way that's informative and interesting.
We have so many children's books, and I want to get rid of a good portion of them.
Burn them.
Rochelle doesn't want to let them go.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm like, let's just, I mean, we have, they. It must weigh 150 pounds, the amount of books that we have.
You acquire
donate
so many
them.
Books.
And that's what I want to do, but there's a sentimental attachment.
To some of them.
Well, then donate the kids.
So I've... You know, I want to go through them and you know, some of them we can, let's give somebody else to enjoy because they're doing nothing but collecting dust. And
do that.
Let's hang on to a few of them. We'll hang on all the Shel Silverstein stuff.
But that's
you.
Loves. You remember you were bidding $1,000 on a beloved kid's book.
I have those and I'm going to keep those.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, yeah, we'll keep the Dr. Seuss stuff, but there's loads of things that we can get rid of.
Yeah, you have to go through those books and pick, I do that, and pick the sentimental ones that you want to keep. There was one, you know, when Jace was very little. That it was like some of his first words that he would read. But actually, Nick, I don't even know if you know this, but Nick and his ex-wife, Melissa, gave me a ton of books for Jace.
Mm-hmm.
And then I returned them to Melissa when she had her second son. So, but it was instead of buying them and instead of them, you know, going to waste or Steve, your suggestion of burning them, you know, at least they went back to her and, you know, now she's got them.
Well,
for her son.
Can you imagine that one of those books becomes the book that really gets some kid in love with reading?
Yep.
You know, I remember the first book that I read that I loved. It was 50 Shades of Grey. No, I remember the first book. It was, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is fun. It was a collection of peanuts.
Steve, were you in a book club when you were a kid?
Yes, I was.
Yeah,
the Scholastic Book Club. I loved it.
It was great.
Yeah.
Like once a month, a book would come in the mail.
We get them delivered in school. Like
okay.
We get a little box for us. And I loved it.
I did, too. And I've held on to a handful of those.
Oh, really?
Some Charlie Brown books.
Huh.
And a couple of others that didn't really, they weren't famous or anything like that, but I love them. But like Seven Chinese Brothers was one of them. I held on to that. I think I have a Rikki Tikki Tembo. Remember
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Rambo, Cherry Berry Ruchi, Pit Berry Bembo.
Has fallen into the well.
God. Yes.
It's amazing we can remember those things, but like who our guests were yesterday.
Oh,
yeah. Forget it.
I didn't know who Hailey Bieber was.
I was talking to the world's biggest fan. She was a former Baldwin.
Bieber was a Baldwin.
Yeah.
So anyhow, she has passed away, but her legacy lives on, and they're continuing to, you know, move forward with that.
They're planning a number of book burnings around the country.
Right. Wow.
In her honor.
So wait, Rikki Tikki Tembo was a book?
Well, Rikki Tikki Tavi was the Rudyard Kipling story.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But I remember our teacher reading that story to us in class.
Okay, what is Rikki Tikki Tembo, No So Rambo, Cherry Bear Ruchi?
Cherry Bear Ruchi, Pick Picky Bimbo. It was somebody's name.
A demonic spell.
And the I remember the story because he goes, and, you know, has fallen into the well. This kid fell into the well. That was his name. And the name was so long that this kid is spending all this time saying the name over and over to try and tell people that there was a problem, that they realize, hey, that name is way too long. And the kid died. No, I don't remember if he died or not.
He's dead. He's dead. Though we got Mel out in about 10
here
minutes.
You go. Nick.
Yes, I had a lot of content.
Here you go. Here's the description. 3 decades and more than 1 million copies later, still children still love hearing about the boy with the long name who fell down the well.
Aw.
The recreation of an ancient Chinese folktale has hooked legions of children, teachers, parents who return. Generation after generation learn about the danger of having such an honorable name as, it's Tiki Tiki Tembo. I always thought it was Ricky Tiki.
Y'all gone what?
Tiki Tiki Tembo, Nasarembo, Charibari Ruchi, Pick Picky Pembo, Pip Perry Pembo. Boy, I was off on that one.
Well, you were in the general vicinity.
Yeah. All right, so anyhow, unfortunately, Joanna Cole, who created the Magic School Bus, has passed away. And we have her body right here on the shelf in the general store. Let's see what else.
Decomposing and stinking up a stall. That's why he also carries some room deodorizers.
Let's see what else we can find. During COVID-19, and I find this quite surprising, more than 1 million people have given up smoking since the pandemic hit. And a survey, according to a survey for our charity Action on Smoking and Health, which is also known as ASH, it suggests of those who had quit in the previous 4 months, 41% said it was in direct response to coronavirus. Separately, University College of London found more people quit smoking in the year to June 2020 than in any year since its survey began in 2007.
General smoking was on the way down, right?
Yeah,
it's been going down steadily. It had seen a little bit of a tick up in younger people, and they said that vaping was responsible for that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, smoking was on the way down.
But more people have quit than in any year since the survey began in 2007.
You think they'd be smoking more?
I know, because
nervousness
or just the locked up nature of passing time. You know?
There was also there were studies that said that, you know, people who were smokers were less likely to get. You see this?
Okay. No, he's speaking the truth. There were a couple of medical studies that suggested that there were some attributes to smokers that might have helped given them an extra buttress against the COVID virus.
Right.
That maybe.
Smoke up, John.
Yeah, I know. Maybe,
but they didn't want to get that message out.
Right. The tar in your lungs was coating
your lungs. I know.
It coats your lungs, and therefore it can't get through.
Preston, you're wearing the shirt yesterday, and I was actually opposed this question because in the movie yesterday.
Yes.
There are no cigarettes.
Yes, not to be a spoiler alert, but yeah, there's a point where he goes, man, I could really go for a cigarette right now. And the guy next to him goes, what's a cigarette?
You're talking about yesterday?
The movie yesterday, yeah.
And so I was wondering, Preston, as a huge Beatles fan, would you give up the existence of the Beatles if that meant no cigarettes ever existed in the world?
No.
Okay. Totally worth it, right?
I think that the music, the healing power of the Beatles, the love of the Beatles outweighs the death and destruction of
would you give up ELO or no hand jobs?
Oh.
Wait, no.
I'd give up ELO.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you gotta have handies.
Do you want my handy?
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Government advice says smokers may be at risk of more severe COVID symptoms. So, you know, there you go. Pick your survey. Between 15th of April and 20th of June, a representative sample of 10,000 people enrolled by YouGov on behalf of ASH were asked about their smoking habits. The results were used to estimate the total number of people giving up smoking. This is in the UK. Just under half of people who had quit in the past 4 months said the pandemic had played a role in their decision.
What's the average price of a carton of cigarettes now?
A carton?
Yeah.
Okay, so probably like 80 bucks?
What?
80.
80
bucks. Because it's 10 packs in a carton, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like $8 a pack.
Yep.
80 bucks.
I guess it's a ballpark figure. Nick, can you look up cigarettes and their average price of a carton? A team at University College London has been asking 1,000 people a month in England about their smoking habits since 2007. As part of the smoking toolkit study in the year of 2 June 2020, 7.6 percent of smokers taking part in the survey quit, almost a third higher than the average and the highest proportion since the survey began more than a decade ago.
About $70. $70. You can go to cigoutlet.net, but
yeah, you'll
save legal. That.
You save money buying the carton. It's like a bulk price as opposed to buying per pack.
So when you buy your cigarettes, buy in bulk.
But yeah, so you have to buy at least three cartons on this website. Are you allowed to buy cigarettes? Because if you went to like Virginia, North Carolina, Tobacco Road or whatever, they were way cheaper down there. But are you allowed to bring them across state lines?
I remember at some point that was illegal technically on the technical side.
We did it once or twice for my father-in-law. He drank, what were they called? Commanders?
Smoked? He said drank.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Commanders, and they were filterless cigarettes that he started smoking during World War II, and that was the only thing he smoked. And so you had to go down, south to get them.
Nick is looking that up. Pennsylvania law only allows a resident to have up to one carton of cigarettes that does not have a Delaware. Oh, and then it skips
But there are laws against it. It's like, Casey, I think it's like going to like Total Wine. Like
booze,
You're not really supposed to. People do anyway.
I guess it has to do with local taxes or
it does
something?
It's a pure tax thing.
When I was in college, we would smoke Jack's cigarettes. They were $1.10 a pack.
Jack's. Wow. And you did it just because they were cheap?
They were cheaper. I mean, so if you
were they the small cigarettes or no?
No, that was just they have
they were just
like no frills brands, and Jack's was a no frills brand.
In my I smoked for several years. I was a Marlboro Light guy. That was it. And for a small stretch, there was a brand called Merit.
Yeah,
smoked those for a little while.
Remember Merit?
Still around?
Yeah,
the yellow.
You had the yellow pack. I was just
didn't you have some Marlboro swag?
No, I don't think I did.
Did you collect miles?
What's that?
You didn't collect the miles?
Those were stupid. No, my wife's aunt was big into collecting the Marlboro
miles.
You
could get a canoe!
And she got like, satin Marlboro jackets and stuff like that.
What I found funny about...
What cigarette brand do you smoke?
Proudly.
Yeah.
I'm a Marlboro man.
Steve, what I found funny about the Marlboro miles is you would get this catalog of things that you could trade your miles in for.
Right.
And so many of them were like outdoorsy things. And I'm like... As a smoker, I'm like, that's too much work. Hiking.
Are there products that still do incentive points and things like that? Because that was big in the 80s and 90s where you would buy the product and you would save essentially a portion of the, I don't know what they used to call that, save the, it wasn't a coupon.
It's like a UPC symbol even.
Some type of thing. And then you could mail it back in and get. You could get gifts and things
They'd
like that.
They'd send you the catalog. I don't think as many. For
proof
example,
of purchase.
That's proof of purchase, yeah. So when every time I buy on Amazon, I get purchase points because I have the Amazon credit card. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it used to be, like S&H green stamps and things of that nature.
Cereals used to have proof of
purchase. You cut the hole out of the back of the box and send it in.
Yeah. I think they still do on some levels.
Remember the scene in...
what movie was it?
Is it Dead or Alive?
Better Off Dead. Was it Better Off Dead?
Where he's the box of cereal out and they're pouring out because he cut the holes in the boxes.
Yes. He was trying to get the space shuttle.
Yes.
That's right. Build your own space shuttle.
Yeah. I think cereal boxes on some level still have that. I mean, I think you can like trade them in for... don't they do the school scholastic programs?
They
cereal box tops.
You probably get a Q code or something like that, right?
Yeah, and it's not just cereals either, Nick. It's a lot of different types of foods like that.
Okay,
I don't want to say non-perishables, but I'm gonna say it.
Non-perishables.
That was fun to say. I did it.
He did it.
At macaroni and cheese, those types of boxes.
Yeah. I know. Dry goods.
Yeah, dry goods. Thank you. You said it.
I did it.
It's a good
I'm
word.
Doing it.
All right. Anyhow, more people have quit smoking during the pandemic. Hang on a second here. Let me go to Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
None much. I just wanted to say my husband did smoke Marlboros, and they still have the miles that you collect. Now it's like an arrange of numbers and digits that you put in. There's an app and a whole website, and it doesn't have their Marlboro logo anymore, but it's a whole bunch of good stuff.
Okay.
So it's like wheezing miles?
Yeah, right.
Does he collect on it?
Yeah, we've collected on it, and we've gotten like cups and like a Zippo, and there's like a hammock and
oxygen tanks.
Opener. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
A hammock?
Yeah, they've got all types of like backpacks and speakers, and you can get boots and like a North Face jacket, all types of different things.
Do you remember on the Letterman, the Late Show with Letterman, when they'd have people, they'd send Larry Bud Melman down to like the Greyhound bus terminal, and some people coming in from out of state, he would have him. They'd get a complimentary carton of cigarettes.
Yes.
All right, so.
When I was in high school, and I probably was maybe 15 or 16 years old, I was in front of the Wawa, and the tobacco guy was there. He was the Skoal, salesman. And we asked him, hey, can we get a roll of, and he gave us an entire roll of Skoal. I mean, that's giving away a carton of cigarettes.
The delivery people have sometimes a little
latitude.
Yeah. They got some excess product. And I've been, I knew a guy that worked for Hers, and he would give me boxes of chips every now and then.
The best
is, really cool.
Is if you see one of those car transporting trucks going by.
Yeah.
And they, hey, I like those Jeeps.
Yeah, those are nice. Here you go, kid. Take one. All right, so anyhow, I want to move on to some other stuff. Right. Cigarettes at the store, but we're moving on to some other things. And let's stay with store products. Once upon a time, IGA supermarkets carried an average of 40 different varieties of toilet paper, and it now carries just 4. Progresso used to make 90 different kinds of canned soup, and now it has cut that inventory in half. And Amy's Kitchen had an organic product line of 228 products. They are now just 71. America's grocery suppliers may have come to the realization that consumers may not need a near limitless variety of choices. Thanks to the pandemic and problems with the supply chain, executives from America's food giants have had to move away from less efficient and less profitable products in order to focus on their core offerings.
So they basically are shoring up their offerings and realizing that it just focus in on the popular or the more popular stuff, and they're not really getting any credit or additional traction by offering 50 yes. other things that people don't buy.
They're actually finding out that this is a better way to do business.
Yeah.
That's good, because there are often way too many choices when you're standing at the grocery store, and you're just like, and that you confound yourself as to trying to pick the best one or the best price, unit price or whatever. And it just, if you could eliminate the choices from 12 to 4, that's still enough choices.
Yeah. And it's not just happening at the grocery stores, because restaurants like IHOP and fast food companies like McDonald's have pared down their menus to offer a more basic selection, and they've seen their service levels improve, apparently.
Well, it makes this, I think people don't feel so overwhelmed. Listen, it's great to have choices, but if you're so overwhelmed that you don't know what to go for.
Yeah. Like the Cheesecake Menu?
Like the
Cheesecake Factory menu?
Right. Again, there was a diner we used to go to, and it was a great diner, but we'd always get the same thing, and the menu was like 50 pages of like, who orders this?
I got to start over again.
Yeah. And listen, I think maybe Cheesecake Factory is the anomaly there, but I think the smaller the menu, the better the restaurant, because they can really focus their attention on what they're serving rather than, you know.
When Gordon Ramsay goes into any of these places, when he does like the restaurant makeovers and stuff like that, the first thing he does is look at the menu and shear off a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. You know where you see gigantic menus are some diners.
Greek diners.
Yes.
So the Greek diners. That's what I was just talking
about. It's a Bible that they bring you of food.
There was a Greek diner we'd go to. My wife, we love their turkey burger. We'd go there.
Yeah.
But Preston, you were getting like a leather-bound novel every time they brought the menu out.
Well, how many of those items are kind of like
pretend?
Not pretend, but like same ingredients.
There's probably a bunch that they can mix and match.
The burgers and the coffee are the same.
But Casey, sometimes I look on and I'm at a diner and I'm like, sushi?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, it's like the Goldbergs episode where they go to Beefsteak Charlie's and Barry orders the fish. It's like, it's steak! It's a steak of the day!
But I've seen things on a diner menu that in a different type of restaurant I'd probably order, but at a diner I'm like, no.
No, I'm going to get the tuna melt.
Yeah, I'll go with the tuna melt, which is always a risk anyway.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, this looks like this could end up being good in the long term. Limited choices means less what they call analysis paralysis, where shoppers experience when they go to the supermarket, you literally have thousands of choices staring at you. Lack of variety has been driven has driven customers away in the past, but it might actually be the right move right now, they're saying.
So I love a light balsamic vinaigrette as my salad dressing. I use it all the time. But you go into I love Acme, and I go in, but there's 5,500 selections, and I finally had to pick, I'm like, all right, I'm going to lock and load on this one.
Right.
And it's the one I keep going to. But there's how many different variations of this do you need?
And they have to buy it first, right? Like, I don't necessarily know how supermarkets work, but they have to buy the product and then sell the product, right? So if they're buying a product that's not selling, they're losing money, right?
I don't know exactly how supermarkets work it out. I assume it's on, they have store shelf for that. What they sell, they split the profit, obviously, or they pay the vendor.
Yeah. I wonder how much the inventory in the store at a particular time costs. Like, if you walk into an Acme and you look at everything that's sitting there on the shelves.
What are you looking at dollar-wise?
And to stock all of those shelves, and then, you're not going to be able to sell everything that's on the shelves at a particular time, including perishables.
Oh, it's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise.
They say you walk into any average Walmart, you're looking at $200 to $300 worth of...
Oh, my God.
$200 to $300.
Whoa. No kidding.
That's why there's sales, Nick.
Yeah.
What?
That's why there's sales, to get rid of the products.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Marissa has a statement to make.
Well, I was just going to say, the pandemic especially was a big sign of what sells and what doesn't sell.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because when people were loading up their carts at the very beginning, you would go into the supermarket and just say, well, nobody's buying these random Oreo cereal or whatever it is,
and
know?
Dasani water for some reason.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why. People weren't buying.
The other day, though, I went into my CVS and I did a swan dive into the mountain of toilet paper.
Yeah. Hey, can I... So this whole all started off with a IGA. Can I tell you guys a cute IGA story? No?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you guys
know, can't pause. You just have to go right into it because we might say no.
Dan Fine, who we all know and worked with at Y100 and here at the radio station. So Dan Fine married Andrea. Andrea's great. I went to high school with Andrea. He first saw she worked at IGA, and he was like, who is this girl? I think she's beautiful. And so he got a job there just so he could meet her.
That's wow.
Isn't that cute? And then now they're married.
It's like from when Harry met Sally, then telling the story at the end of the, the movie.
So anytime
I got a job there.
Anytime I hear the word or the letters IGA, I think, and it was the IGA in Westchester Pike and Manoa Shopping Center. He's like, I love her. I'm going to get a job there. He met her, and here we are 25 years later, married, marital bliss.
Wow. It's a good thing I didn't say IGA, because I would have never have thought of that.
Yeah.
All right, we have time for one more item in the store because it's getting late
late in the day.
Yeah.
So we'll just pick up one more item before we leave.
Over 850 lots of TV and film memorabilia are going to be...
that dead body's starting to stink up a storm.
...are going to be auctioned in Los Angeles next month with items up for grabs from movies. And there's a lot of really good stuff at this particular auction. One of them is very cool. It is the breastplate that Helen Mirren wore in Excalibur as Morgana.
I'm a huge fan of the movie. She's super sexy in that movie.
She's so hot in that movie, Steve. But
she's so evil.
Yes.
But she's, it's just, that's John Borman, the guy who directed the movie Deliverance. It is the Arthurian legend told in incredible fashion. Liam Neeson's in it, Patrick Stewart. And if you've never seen it, it's great. The sequence with the Lady of the Lake and the sword coming up is just amazing. It's just a great movie. But yeah, she looked fantastic in that movie.
So the breastplate she was wearing is going to be up for auction, and that is expected to fetch between $18,000 and $22,000. I saw a Helen Mirren, I think it was a video of a montage of sexy moments of movie. Mm. Mm-hmm. A hot woman. Gorgeous.
Caligula?
Great
actress.
Caligula?
She was naked in one of those. Was that Excalibur?
She's been naked in
Revenge of the
things.
Nerds. Revenge of the Nerds.
She played Booger's mother.
And Helen Mirren as Booger's mother.
Boogalini.
All right. Well, there are a lot of things going up for auction. By the way, it's impressive that breastplate is going for maybe $22,000, given that the entire budget for the film was $11 million at the time, and the box office earnings were $35 million. I would want the sword. I would want Excalibur.
Absolutely.
How awesome would that be, right?
So the armor that they had was highly stylized and polished and everything, and it was meant to be very cinematic, but I would love something like that. You know, any of that stuff would be great as well.
Who played Merlin in that?
Uthar. That was...
this very
he's great. Uthar. Who is it, Nick?
Nick is looking him up.
Merlin was Nicol Williamson?
Yes, okay. Nicol. Yes.
Nicol?
Williamson,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know him.
He's... You would know him if you saw him.
Okay.
All right, but anyhow... other things that are up for auction.
You know what? He's dead. Maybe he's the body in the odds and ends.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
No, it was the chick who wrote to the Magic School
Bus. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Keira Knightley's star power is expected to fetch some money because her Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Curl, Black Pearl dress.
This goddamn curl. How do I straighten this?
is expected to fetch between $4,000 and $6,000.
Huh.
That was her outfit that she
You'd have
wore.
To be obviously an Uber fan for any of this stuff, but this that seems sort of commonplace, you know.
Jennifer Lawrence is she has two costumes she wore in the Hunger Games that are going to be up for bidding, and that you have her arena look and her hunting outfit, and they're expected to get bids of $3,000 to $5,000. The bloodied flight suit that Denise Richards' character Carmen wore in Starship Troopers has an estimated price of $2,000 to $3,000.
That's pretty cool.
Christina Applegate's Veronica Corningstone from Anchorman, one of her pink suits, is expected to get between $800 and $1,200.
I'd rather have like the trident from that movie.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of cool items through movies that I'd love to have.
You just talked about some collectibles from 2001, the original helmet that Frank Bowman. I mean, that was going for, what, $200,000 or something like that?
Yes. I wonder what they do with set pieces that are designed. I was watching, it was a repeat, but it was Philly Week on Wheel of Fortune last week or the week before. I don't know if you guys saw any of them, but they had this giant... Independence Hall and a huge Liberty Bell.
Right.
And they were crafted really well. A lot of time and effort put into these things, these set pieces that they use for a week on Wheel of Fortune. And then I imagine they just either find ways to recycle them or they end up in the dustbin.
They burn them.
Maybe.
Right. Listen to this. Other items include Tom Cruise's fighter pilot helmet from Top Gun.
Oh, wow. Dr. Mike would love that.
Leonardo DiCaprio's yellow Cadillac from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Brad Pitt's Volkswagen Karmann Ghia from the same movie.
What?
Clint Eastwood's revolver from The Outlaw Josie Wales.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Wow.
Ewan, I'm going to kill me a Josie Wales.
Ewan McGregor's lightsaber hilt from Attack of the Clones. Al Pacino's suit from The Godfather 2, Steve.
Whoa. And Robin Williams. Play with their toys. Do they have anything from Al Pacino from Jack and Jill, that Adam Sandler movie?
the Duncan?
Yeah, yeah.
The Duncacino?
Yes.
Yeah. And also Robin Williams' sword from Hook. Also boxing gloves from Rocky.
How have they held up? Because a lot of times boxing gloves get older and they start to really fall apart.
I don't know. But
right, where can I find...
If you smell them, you find out.
Stinks!
Yeah.
where can I find all of these items?
This is going to be...
At the local store where Preston works.
It is the prop store... Holds the Entertainment Memorabilia Live Auction August 26th and 27th.
Okay.
And you can bid on the phone, I believe. Or online. I'm sorry, online.
Well, I'd like to see... There's way too many items that are way out of my budget, but I'd like to see if there's something that is somewhat affordable.
It's worth checking. A lot of times they had this incredible collection of things, props from science fiction movies, and stuff from Star Trek going all the way back to the original props from the original series. And while, as you would well imagine, a lot of that stuff was incredibly expensive, there were things that were still pretty cool that were affordable.
By the way, Casey, John Candy's costume from Spaceballs, barf, that's going to be up for sale. So maybe some other Spaceballs. Maybe the flamethrower. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Spaceballs, the flamethrower. The kids love this. All right, so anyhow, the most expensive items, though, and then we got to wrap up here, are an 11-foot Nostromo model miniature from the movie Alien.
How much?
$500,000.
Okay.
And a Darth Vader promotional costume and helmet from the original Star Wars A New Hope. That's expected to bring in about $250,000.
Wow. If anyone wants to get me that Nostromo,
okay,
I would appreciate it.
All right. So that's all we have time for in the store. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
We'll see you next time. Yeah. Hopefully get the stink out of that rotting body.
Let's take a break and come back and get into the Bizarre File. We're also going to have Vernon Reed from Living Color, the band, on the show. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Well, maybe you saw the video footage of this, but three Spirit Airlines employees were battered in a wild melee at a South Florida airport over a delayed flight. Brawl captured on video broke out Tuesday night at a gate for a Philadelphia-bound flight Fort Lauderdale.
Of course.
The employees suffered minor injuries when three passengers became combative following a delayed flight. I mean, they went crazy,
man. It's insane.
In the clip, several women were seen hurling items at the workers before going behind the counter and attacking at least one of the employees. Among the items thrown at employees were phones, shoes, full water bottles, metal boarding signs, and fast food. Tamaya Wright, Danasha Dixon, and Kira Ferguson were all busted on battery charges in connection with the violent encounter.
Somebody get my hands so I can go.
Wright also faces an additional charge for allegedly taking a Spirit employee's phone. The trio declined to comment on the episode other than to say that they were trying to get home to Philadelphia.
Of course they were.
Spirit released a statement Wednesday.
We miss them.
Praising their employees for their professionalism and quick action.
You so got to see the footage.
No word on if they were drunk or had been drinking or anything like that?
I didn't hear that yet, so okay. We'll have to wait and see. A randy couple having sex in a roadside bush were caught on camera being hit with a plank by a furious neighbor. The unusual incident was filmed in the southwestern Russian region of Stavropol by a giggling neighbor in a nearby block of apartments. Video shows the outraged woman, known locally as Lady Arena, walking over to the bush with a short wooden plank and mercilessly smacking on the man's buttocks while he is thrusting on top of a woman.
She was only helping.
The man rolls over on the side and Arena wallops the woman's thigh while shouting at the couple. The pair cower in embarrassment as Arena continues to berate them in front of other neighbors. Before marching off with a scowl across her face, Arena gives the couple a final whack with the plank, which causes the man to yell out in pain. It's hilarious. The filming neighbor is heard laughing as the angry woman is storming off. And most viewers supported Lady Arena in teaching the couple a lesson. But there are some disagreed with her violent act. A 20-year-old Lincoln, Nebraska man is in jail after he threatened to shoot a 37-year-old with a rifle. Police said the 37-year-old victim was driving Tuesday morning, and he saw a guy named Dominic Kinzer hitting a car with a shovel. Police said the victim pulled over and got out of his car to see what was going on. And that's when Kinzer started yelling at him and tried to fight with the victim. Police said Kinzer went into an open garage nearby, grabbed a rifle, and pointed it at the victim and threatened to shoot him. The victim got back in his car and drove away and then called police. Now, when police arrived at the home, Kinzer said that he was hitting his own car with the shovel when the victim showed up.
Why?
We don't know.
Okay.
But it seemed like a good idea at
just
the time.
Just to teach it a lesson?
Police said the car did belong to Kinzer, and so did the garage that he entered. Kinzer was arrested for terroristic threats and possession of a deadly weapon in the commission of a felony. Officers located the rifle and a shotgun in the garage.
Sometimes you have to reprimand your car when it starts to act up.
Maybe so. A kayaker named Peter Joyce found himself in a heart-stopping predicament last weekend in a close encounter that he not only survived but also managed to capture on video. The incident happened near a dam on the Waccamaw River in Wilmington, North Carolina. The incident appears to have been shot by a GoPro-style camera mounted on his body. The video shows Joyce paddling along the murky Green River, which is lined by fallen trees and submerged logs just before the attack. He said, "I thought I heard a fish jump to my left. Turned out to not be a fish." Video shows an alligator.
Holy hell.
Was likely floating just below the surface to Joyce's left when he paddled within a few meters of it. The reptile's head suddenly pops above the water and the gator surges forward, making a V-shaped wave and a rushing sound as it speeds towards the kayak.
It's go time.
About 3 feet from the kayak, he said, I made out the head of the gator and that was it. I had no time to react. My mind was playing catch up. He can be heard on the video cursing, and then the gator hits the kayak, and it flips over into the murky water. The video shows nothing but dark water and bubbles for a few desperate seconds, and then Joyce brings himself and the boat and the camera above the surface once again.
So he stayed in the kayak and was able to ride it.
Yep. Joyce sits still in the kayak, turning to his left and right, looking for the alligator, and he can be heard trying to calm him to his breathing.
No effing way.
He's an experienced paddler, by the way, who has encountered alligators before, but he says he's never seen one charge at him as quickly as this one did.
Jeez.
Wow, yeah.
We're watching the footage.
Yep. And we have time for one more, and let's end with this. Maybe you guys saw pictures of this online. A fish bearing a bizarre human-like mouth and teeth.
It's effed up.
Has caused social media users to wonder if the luscious-lipped critter even exists. The viral pic of it, which was reportedly caught in Malaysia, was uploaded July 2nd by an Indonesian Twitter user with the caption, "Her lips are hotter than mine." Indeed, the photo shows the fish sporting sultry soup coolers
and great human teeth
that are almost identical to an Instagram star's filler-injected pout, and the resemblance is so uncanny that it made that many Twitter users wondered if it was fake or not. Despite looking doctored, the toothy critter may be real, a real live triggerfish that inhabits tropical seas around the globe. The triggerfish uses its people-like teeth to crunch crabs and sea urchins, which they flip over to get at the soft underbelly underneath, by the way.
It really is bizarre. It's very off-putting.
It looks human. I've caught a triggerfish before, but I didn't take a good close look at the mouth like that.
Did you make out with it?
I would have if I would have seen those lips. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to get Vernon Reed of Living Color on, which is pretty cool. A real interesting nod to MMR via Twitter with him, and that's why we're going to be chatting with him. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we welcome our next guest on, I'm going to do this for my, I'm going to do something personal.
All right. Mind.
So in 1988, the album Vivid came out from, of course, God, I'm losing my train of thought, Living Color.
Yeah.
And when back then I played in a cover band. We've talked about it for years. And I was telling Casey off air, when you play in a cover band, every now and then you'll throw in a song that the band agrees, okay, we're going to play something that we're going to play this just to show off our musicianship a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so Living Color was just, we loved the band. But we didn't want to play Cult of Personality because it was too obvious.
Right.
So we played two other songs from that album, Open Letter to a Landlord.
Great song.
And I'm going to play a little clip. Now, this is from an old boombox at a bar that I recorded this on. But another song we love playing, and it was to show off our musicianship, was Middleman. So I wanted him to hear this while he's on hold just a little bit. All right, so the audio is horrible. But man, it's got such a cool groove. And we'd go into that just for us. We were like, we're having fun now.
Yeah.
This is
awesome. You had to give yourself a bone.
Huge fan of this band. And not only that, he and his bandmates graciously came to our Camp Out for Hunger and performed a few years ago. And
one of my favorite moments of all time.
Blew us away. Yep. Please welcome from Living Color, Vernon Reed.
Yeah.
Hey, Vernon.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Listen, I want to point out that the reason we decided to give you a buzz and see if you would come on was you said some really cool things about the radio station in a tweet exchange and how the station was integral into kind of getting the ball rolling for that album, Vivid, which was the breakout for you guys.
Absolutely. I remember it quite well. Middleman was our first single, and we kind of did a little something on college radio, but that was about it. And I mentioned about the fact that, you know, that our next shot, and I think our last shot, was going to be Cult of Personality. And WMMR was the station that played it first, added it first, and got phones on it first, and that got the ball rolling, you know what I mean? And I remember that very very clearly. I know you were getting tortured by our radio guy, Harvey Leeds, back in the day.
Well, that's what he had to do. That's the job.
I want to give a shout out to Biff Kennedy, who was our Sony rep in Philly at the time.
Okay.
You know, but we were very, you know, it was like, you know, like Oedipus and, you know, that all came later, you know,
Boston.
I think Boston added at like right after that, but that's kind of the way it went. And we always loved playing Philly. It was the first stop on the Stone Tour, the Steel Wheels Tour. That was our first show. So we've always had a very close affiliation with Philly. Philly's got legendary status in terms of musicians coming through Philly. You know, everyone from Coltrane, Benson, the list goes on and on. And so I love that town, and so it's an honor to even bring it up. And so when it came up, basically people were saying, oh, you know, Cult was released, and I just happened to glance at it. I was like,
it's all good.
and I was like, oh yeah, and then it just the memories came flooding back, and just thinking, you know, like it started, WMMR really started it, and then we did the video. You know, because we had got this started to get this momentum, and then we did the video with Drew Carolyn, and that broke on MTV, and then the rest of the country followed.
Wow. I remember, I have so many questions for you. Number one, I want to go to, you know, you said our last shot, so I assume that, you know, that album represented for you guys, this is the best. This clearly is our sound. This is the best, and if this doesn't hit, it just ain't going to work. Is that what you meant by that?
Well, it's kind of like we were... You know, generally, you got three bites at the apple in terms of major labels. You know, it's very political. It depends on how strong your A&R man. You know, Mike Kaplan was, you know, he had a string of successes and hits and things, so he was in a pretty good position. But it's also like the zeitgeist of, you know, how much risk they were willing to put in. You know, we were very lucky because there was a switch of leadership, you know. Al Teller was the head of Epic. He left, and that was just Dave Glue came in, and Dave Glue, who was an Atlantic executive, he saw us play a show at the Ritz, and he said, you know, you remind me of a young Led Zeppelin. You remind me of a Led Zeppelin because he worked on Led Zeppelin. So in other words, everything had to line up. But at the same time, you know, I think about the fact that we had already become a local, you know, we rose up through the ranks locally. You know, we played Irving Plaza, we played all these different clubs in New York, we played mainly CBGBs. So we were really on track, but we have gotten rejected by a lot of the labels. And it took getting hooked up with the most famous person in rock and roll for us to advance.
Mick Jagger?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So on the one hand, you know, God bless him, you know, and it's great that he came through, but the fact that we have to have that person.
Yeah, it's
wild. You know what I mean?
It's wild, Vernon, because if you stop and think about it, and we've been in the radio business long enough to know how important those A&R people were, and I wonder now with all the surplus of ways, you know, with the with streaming and YouTube and all the different ways to get music out, if we might see a hybrid of that kind of person
come back, because they sort of have gone away in large part. But somebody who's an advocate to help get behind something, use the sheer force of will and belief in an artist to help it, help them cut through all the noise. Do you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely agree. I think the idea of like almost influencer A&R is a kind of idea, concept that whose time has come. You know, clearly somebody that's actually has an ear, but also is got their, you know, is really on their, got their finger on the pulse of what's going on, can really spot viral trends before they happen. You know, like a quarterback throws to where the running back is going to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, so that's the idea, is like not to be, to, you know, to spot the pre-trend before it becomes a trend and then time it. So that kind of person is evolving. I believe that.
I loved what you guys did. The reason your music and that album stood out to me, you and one other band, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, were bringing funk, you were bringing soul power into heavy music. And it was so refreshing and cool. But I remember it really standing out. Was it resistance at first when you guys came out with that sound?
Well, yeah, because people didn't, you know, number one, people were, trying to figure out where we were coming from. Mm-hmm. And I think people got it really twisted, you know what I mean? Because rock had become so identified with white people at that point. And it was almost like a disconnect between rock's black roots. Well, the thing about us is that we never disconnected it. So it was never never an identity crisis. It was never an identity problem. The problem was other people looking at it and trying to figure it out. But we were very clear about it. We were very clear the connection between how Led Zeppelin became Led Zeppelin, how the Stones became the Stones. And we were very clear about the connection between Miles Davis, a Sly Stone, and a Jimi Hendrix. So it was never – and the other thing, it wasn't just historical. It was also very current, because I grew up with bands like – my first concert was Parliament Funkadelic playing with War, right? The Isley Brothers – I mean, Ernie Isley does – the Isley Brothers and Ernie Isley don't ever get enough credit, because they kept that kind of Hendrix sound alive, but also with hits on the radio, like Who's That Lady and Fight for Power. So this was like a sound that was very alive. It wasn't like a thinking of backwards. It was like a very current type of sound, as well as, you know, the influence of growing up with how the Beatles radically changed. Like, they went from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Helter Skelter. I mean, that's like a band becoming, it's like a band starting out as, I don't know, like the Everly Brothers, and becoming Radiohead before your very eyes.
Well, you know, it's funny, because you have the music is so good. The music on its own, and obviously the band's ability to perform and deliver it live. But then what happens in the studio, and I think just in production, a lot of people who aren't familiar with the process of production and audio recording and capturing and accenting and accentuating an artist's capability, that album in particular, Vivid, you can know that sound instantly when you hear it. And it seemed to be sort of a perfect storm of what you needed at that time.
I give full credit to Ed Stasium, and actually Ed Stasium and Mick Jagger as producers. Mick produced two songs. He produced Glamour Boys, and he produced Which Way to America, which Way to America is one of the most aggro. It ends the album, and it's an incredibly aggro tune. So he was great. And Ed Stasium, who had been working with Mick on Primitive Cool, we brought him on as a producer. And, you know, Cult of Personality, when we played it in the clubs, we actually did a different arrangement of it, and we actually did like a intro, like, you know how Desperate People has this kind of intro.
Yeah.
We actually took the chords from the bridge, actually were like a kind of an intro, kind of very grand, and then we hit the riff, right?
Yeah.
And Ed, he said, skip the intro, get to the sample, which we changed. The first sample we used to do, Free at Last, Thank God Almighty We Are Free. It was MLK. Okay. We switched it to Malcolm X. So he said, no, man, play the sample, just skip the intro and get to the riff. So that's the value of a producer intervention. Because we've been performing the song a certain way. And he said, man, just get right to it. So, yeah, so that kind of thing. I spent a lot of time with Ed in the studio working on things. And the way he used percussion, if you listen to the record, really listen to it. He does. There's a lot of sound, even though it's just four of us playing the instruments.
Yeah,
there are a lot of little touches that he puts in that fill that kind of sonic space. You know, so he's fantastic. I talked to Ed yesterday. So it's fantastic. You know what I mean? I love that guy. He's an incredible producer.
Hey, Vernon, you know, about the video for Cult of Personality, and that's when it really exploded for you guys, was when that hit. You know, there's several things that I remember when my first reaction of seeing that video, because it was so big. You guys had a very specific look. You know, here's a black heavy metal, you know, hard rock band. I'm like, wow, that stands out to me. Look at that guy's hair. You know, Corey had this really long, wild dreads. And he was wearing a wetsuit for some reason, which was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, I saw, you know, you shredding. I'm like, look at this dude rip. And one of the things that also really stood out to me was your guitar with those neon colors on it. And I hadn't seen a guitar pop like that, you know, since Eddie Van Halen's Frankenstein. It had a really signature look to it like that. Do you still have that guitar, first of all?
I do. And that was made by the ESP company of Japan. But really specifically, it was the ESP, the New York office, you know. And it was myself and the late, great Ronnie Drayton. You know, we were both endorsers, and we were New York-based. And Paul Skelton worked in that shop, and Paul Skelton was amazing. He had this thing. They would send you guitars from Japan, and he had this way. He would pick a guitar out of the case, and he had this one strum quality control. So he would take a guitar case, he would strum it. He was from Texas, you know.
Yeah.
He would strum it, and he'd go, POS, send it back.
Strum. Oh, wow.
Wow.
I can work with this. Strum, I can salvage this one. Strum. No good. Yeah, I sat and watched him do it with a bunch of guitars. And when my guitar came through, it was because they had done this finish. It was a Kulik finish, where they take several layers of paint and then they kind of sand it down, and that's how you get this kind of almost video feedback kind of effect.
Yep.
And that guitar was spot on.
Yeah.
From the moment it arrived and came out the case. And I still have it. And in fact, the ESP company reissued. They did a Cult 86 limited issue of 86 guitars, which all sold out, which is great. But I'm actually considering donating the original to the African American Historical Museum.
Wow.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, because there's a whole music exhibit, and they rotate the thing. And we played for the opening of the African American History Museum.
Wow.
And at Smithsonian. So I was talking to these people, and I was like, you know, because I was thinking about, like, what, well, you know what I mean? It's, and I tried playing it, and the guitar is heavy as hell.
But wait, can you tell them, though, if I really want it, can I have it back?
You know? I know. Well, you know what, though, man? That's like, yeah, it's a loan. It'll be on loan.
It'll be on loan. Okay. Yeah. All right. Vernon, I have a question, and I always like getting tips and suggestions from musicians. Can you tell us what you're listening to now? And it can be new or old. It doesn't matter. But, you know, what's floating your boat these days?
Oh, my goodness. I actually have been listening. Like, people are familiar with Esperanza Spalding as a jazz musician. But she put out these two, electric records. And, Devolution, really, really, really good records. And so Esperanza Spalding, like, her last two records are amazing. And I've been listening to Fiona Apple's record, Fetch the Bolt.
All right, so do you like that? Because I heard all the buzz about it.
People are divided about it. But, you know, I actually kind of was like, Fiona Apple, when she first came out, I was like, oh, she's cool. And I really wasn't. And people are very, very opinionated about her, and I just decided, because I remember, like, from the first thing, and then I hadn't really checked in, so I said, you know, let me check this out, and I was immediately in, because there's something about the way she expresses herself that's very conversational. It's very, and I can't tell whether it's autobiographical or not, but some of the stuff that her wordplay, like the song Shamika, is so great. I mean, because it's also kind of the way the way the music is arranged. It's kind of like, it reminds me of, almost of Vince Guaraldi, the way the piano is very dominant. And it reminds me almost of Vince Guaraldi's music. for the Peanuts. Now, I love that music. Like all of Vince Guaraldi stuff, The Great Pumpkin, and all the Christmas special.
Oh, it's great. It's hands down my favorite Christmas music of all time. And just his trio was legendary. Love them.
Fantastic, great jazz musician, and I think he got dogwood. Man, you do cartoon music, but that music was very emotive to me and very made a big impact on me. So when I heard these kind of ostinatos and things that Fiona Apple was doing, I was like, you know what? She's on some, you know, I get it. I mean, it got to me. And then just the way she talks about, like, under the table and all this different stuff,
yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, it feels like a conversation. It feels like having a conversation with somebody. And it's almost like a perfect music for this time. She sounds like someone that's, like, over it.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Lyrically, I think she's absolutely dynamic and genius. Musically, I couldn't. And we were actually, this is like the second time we're talking about Fiona. We were talking about her off air. I've seen her in concert. I've seen, you know, up close and personal. She also showed up on a Tiny Desk series with the Watkins Family Hour. And I was like, okay, so the Fiona Apple that we knew in the late 90s, early 2000s is, you know, she's had... she's different, you know, and I love the experimental nature of it all. Musically, I just couldn't, I really couldn't find myself getting, I was trying to, I was really trying to
it's
like
okay.
it. Yeah, no, no, yeah. I know, and I know it's okay, but I wish I was able to listen to it the same way that you do.
Yeah, well, you know, things are funny that way. You know, sometimes things that you don't get, right? Like you're trying to scratch your head at, like, you know, when Radiohead did Kid A, there's no drums on the first two songs, right? On the first couple of songs, they actually aren't drums. And I was like, where are the drums? And I that was like, it bothered me. And then eventually said, you know what? This is dope. Like, it occurred to me that this is actually taking, they're kind of taking the form and they're messing with it in a way that's brilliant, doing something. A lot of things that we turn around and suddenly we're like tapping our toe to it. The first time you hear it, it's challenging. It's like, that's not what I, And sometimes it's weird how things will creep up on you. And it may not be the whole record, but it might be a tune. It's interesting how we take things in. Sometimes things will hit us right away, and they're great, and then you fall out of love with it. And so other things are like, I don't know about that. And suddenly you're tapping your toe to it. It's a weird psychology with sound and music.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Vernon, because it's interesting. Do you think, and you've made some jazz references as we've been talking, we obviously know that rock comes from the blues, you know, a large part, but jazz also has had an influence. And how much do you think jazz has influenced the sound of the kind of rock that you deliver and the kind of rock that we all tend to gravitate towards?
Well, it's interesting because I grew up in a time period, you know, when I was much younger. You know, fusion music had kind of hit, and also prog music, right? So music like, you know, Cult of Personality, that riff is one part of that riff is Mahavishnu Orchestra. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing the John McLaughlin's, you know, pioneering jazz rock fusion band, you know, hearing music like the New Moon Race and the Dance of Maya, that had an influence, as well as hearing all the other, like Zeppelin and all the other emerging, you know, like Sabbath and all the other emerging music at that time. So it's a kind of all these different influences had a part to play. And think about the career of Jeff Beck. You know, Jeff Beck was, you know, this kind of guitar wunderkinder, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then he collided with fusion, specifically the keyboard player from Mahavishnu Orchestra, Jan Hammer. And they had a collaboration for many years. And his music has changed ever since. And occasionally he'll dip back into rockabilly, but his music has become this kind of, he's influenced the whole instrumental rock thing very profoundly. And, you know, like Eddie Van Halen, one of his favorite guitarists is the late, great Alan Holdsworth. Alan Holdsworth, who played with Tony Williams and played with Soft Machine, he influenced generations. Like, all the shredding and hyper-shred that, like, Alan Holdsworth, like, you know, Eddie Van Halen, Alan Holdsworth, they had Steve Vai, massive influence across the culture of guitar.
Yeah.
So these things are all part and parcel. I think about my list of influences. Well, my influences were, like, Santana, Hendrix, McLaughlin, Fripp, Jan Ackerman, Tommy Bolin, who played on Cobham's record. You know what I mean? So there's all of this different, these, all these different plays, but there were also local people. There was a guy I grew up with named Arthur Rames. I talk about him all the time on Twitter. And he had passed on, like 89. And it was a heartbreaking thing. That guy was one of the greatest musicians I ever saw in my life because he played guitar like ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he also played saxophone like Coltrane. I'm not exaggerating. And he would go on the piano and totally destroy it. So it was just, and he was a thorough, he was a fusion guy, but also a jazz guy. And people like Jaco Pastorius, you know, who played with Joni Mitchell in Weather Report. All of these different people had a huge, they changed the fabric of what rock is and what rock was. You think about the influence of jazz, you know, think about Van Morrison and Moondance. That's jazz. Like, that Moondance, that's very influenced by jazz.
Yes. And
you know, Sonny Rollins played on a Rolling Stones record. You know, all, it goes on.
You've mentioned a handful of names here, like Tony Williams and Jaco Pastorius and Billy Cobham, and who are the greatest musicians that ever walked the face of the earth. But they can also be so incredibly complex in what they're doing that it's so hard for the average ear to hear and understand and take that in. And I have as much respect for those people as I do for those who can take many fewer notes and pick the right melodies and so on and turn them into masterpieces as well.
And they
all influence each other.
I think that's a very important point. Like Neil Young. I love Neil Young. And his crazy, raw electric guitar playing, as well as his acoustic playing. You know, he does not give a, you know.
You're right. He's Neil Young. Yeah.
And that's also part of the thing. It's not, I think that the spirit of punk, the spirit of a Kurt Cobain, God rest him, Chris Cornell, you know, Chris, like Soundgarden, they were a perfect marriage of very in-your-face, very raw. But they could be very dense and very complex with the altered tunings, but the lyrics.
Odd signature, time signatures, yeah.
Oh, odd time signatures, but you know, so much of his great music, of their great music, you know, like, you know, Chris Cornell was dealing with a lot of deep, heavy things, and he put it out there, you know, 4th of July. Like, my favorite tune of theirs is The Day I Tried to Live. I mean, I'm telling you, that's one of those tunes that, for me, having been in the business and seeing all of the stuff that I saw, in a way, that song had a very specific kind of resonance.
Do you think that there's something cosmic that ends up bringing these people together? Do you know what I mean? Like, you have, all these talented people out there that, can rip and shred, but for some reason, it is something that brought them together that made them a success. You know, maybe they would have had success somewhere else, but they didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, we all ran away to join the circus. You know what I mean?
Every one of us. Yeah.
Certain things are fated to be. And, you know, I think about like an Amy Winehouse.
Ugh.
And you know what I mean? And it's just heartbreaking and heartrending to think about her. Because, you know, she's a person who, you know, when I first heard that song, Rehab, I jumped out of my skin because it was like one of these things. Oh, finally, I'm hearing someone telling the truth. Like, she's actually, it just had the ring of quote-unquote authenticity, just that, you know, when she goes, no, no, no. I mean, that's generations of people that have struggled with addiction and all the rest of it. And her truth, ultimately, you know, she struggled, and ultimately she lost that struggle. But, you know, that's the thing. So many of our greatest, the Marvin Gayes, the Sam Cooks, you know, they come through, and they will say the truth. And they, you know, and whether they have hits or big hits or whether or not, when you hear the truth coming from a singer, when you hear the truth coming out of a guitar or a horn or a violin or a drum, it's unmistakable. It is unmistakable. If it's heavy and dark, if it's light and folksy, the truth will out.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting, though, Vernon, and to touch on what you said, Casey, about, you know, cosmically, is there a reason that these groups of people get together? And yes, they go out and musically change the fabric. I, however, now with YouTube, Vernon, I never knew how many virtuoso musicians out there existed.
Oh, yeah.
That there are people that are that that have that ability, and yet they are bagging groceries, and this is just a thing they do on the side. But they're incredible musicians.
Absolutely.
I had no idea that many existed. You know.
The world is essentially unfair. You know, if you think about it, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix would never, if he hadn't taken that trip to England, you know, it wouldn't have happened. You know, in fact, it just wasn't, you know, the British invasion. In fact, he was one of the artists that helped to reverse the British invasion trend and kind of bring it back to the States.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is on their journey, and there's no guarantees. Like I mentioned, Arthur Rains, that people don't know his name. He's the greatest musician I've ever personally seen. Not a famous person. And, you know, who can say why these things happen?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but once you bring up Jimmy, and once again, it's a black musician going, by the way, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, but also, you know, he was influenced by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Directly as a songwriter, you know, and Bob Dylan just put out like one of the best records of his career. I mean, people have counted Bob Dylan out for, you know, when he get Time Out of Mind, it was, oh my God. Then, you know, Love and Theft came out, but this record, Rough and Ready Ways, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And part of the reason it's incredible is because it's him. When you hear Murder Most Foul from his lips, it's a different situation.
It's fascinating listening to you because, you know what, the same way I love hearing a director who is a fan of film, you're a musician who adores music. So you've never lost that complete immersion and adoration for it. And when it's just fascinating to hear your perspective on this stuff. So
I want to just mention two bands that are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Super. I want to mention the band Car Bomb. If you're into the super heavy stuff, Car Bomb.
Okay. Car Bomb.
Car Bomb.
All right.
You know, it's and unbelievable is a band. There's a band called Thank You Scientist. Let me tell you.
what do they sound like?
I'm writing all these down.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Imagine what it sounds like. Imagine like if you took early Chicago and Frank Zappa and put
what?
It together.
Wow. Zappa and yeah, Chicago.
And the
guitarist, that's a big sound.
And the guitarist Tom Monda is out of, I mean, say that to Tom Monda in the top tier.
Okay.
Ridiculous. But they're like the super heavy band, but the parts, it's like take early Chicago and take Dream Theater and Chicago.
All right.
Seriously, that blows
like,
my
it's
mind.
That kind of a band. It's like super prog band, but with horn sections, trumpet player, and saxophone. Like, ridiculous. But Tom Monner's guitarist, redonkulous.
All right.
And they're from Montclair, New Jersey. Thank you, scientists. You heard it from me. They have a record, Terraformers, and several records. Check them out.
All right, man. We appreciate it.
We'll get people on that. We will definitely listen to it. All right,
absolutely.
Well, Vernon, we're glad we came across this tweet where you mentioned MMR, and it's awesome to catch up with you, man. We'll talk anytime you have time.
Oh, my goodness. I want to give a quick shout-out to my Philly brothers, Jamal Dean Takuma and Calvin Weston for the Freeform Funky Freak, and all the rest of the posse, all the rest of the Philly posse. Yeah, I love you guys, you know, thank you so much for, you know, you were critical in the band's career.
Thank you.
And we so appreciate it and acknowledge it. So, you know, y'all, everybody stay safe. These are crazy sci-fi times we're living through. And, you know, we'll get through it.
We'll see you on the other end, and hopefully we can get another situation like we had at the campout, which still stands as, I think, for all of us, one of the absolute most incredible, surreal moments when you guys played for us out at that event. Yeah. So
it was our pleasure. Hey, okay, guys.
All right, Vernon.
Have
take
a great
care.
Weekend.
All right, yeah. You too, Vernon Reed. Wow, of in Living Color, or not in Living Color, Living Color.
Yeah.
We were just going to talk to him for like 5 minutes, yeah. I thought, but that dude is a student of music. No
Don't
question.
You love hearing that zeal and his take on it? I mean, it goes across all realms. I mean, when he was bringing up Legends of Jazz, he was bringing up, when you go from Joni Mitchell to, you know, Dream Theater.
Yeah.
He's covering all across the spectrum.
Nice. That was cool, man.
Do you want to hear any of, because I have Terraformer by Thank You Scientist. You want to hear one of their songs?
Sure. Well, it's not the whole song.
But no, let's, no, no, no.
Check
I just
out
wanna,
some of it. Yeah.
All right. Well, this one, I'll give you four choices. Do you want Wrinkle, Fix Milder, whatever that is, Swarm, or Son of a Serpent?
Wrinkle's fine.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Wrinkle's fine with you.
I'm a wrinkle right, man. Right,
yeah.
You're a wrinkle man? So he said it was Chicago meets Zappa meets Dream Theater, something like that. So they've got a horn section. They got to be a big band, I would imagine. A lot of members. All right. Yeah, very, very fusion. Yeah. Crank it up a little bit, guys.
I could get behind this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear the jazz.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of Weather Report and like you said, Mahavishnu in there.
I love the Mahavishnu
type of stuff,
Orchestra.
Yeah.
My brother was taking guitar. His teacher was a Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Psycho. Their musicianship is just those bands. And like, you know, Dream Theater, these progressive bands. It's hard to follow,
yeah,
per se. You can't like tap your foot to it.
It's an earworm that lives with you with everything.
But it's unbelievable musicianship.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, that was cool. We need to take a break, and we'll come back in a second. Keep in mind, giving away our Word of the Week prize today, a Pizzique Round Barbecue and Fire Pit kit. So don't stray too far. We'll be back in a moment.
With the continuing lack of actual live concerts, we're taking matters into our own hands. MMR rocks. The Who, in concert, Saturday night at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured. We're all jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR every Saturday night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series. This week, The Who. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have a new Daily Rush video that we were watching a little while ago, and it's called Can Dogs Get Sunburnt? And the description says, Casey has some interesting thoughts about dogs, and there's a moment that just had us rolling in it. So if you'd like to watch the Daily Rush videos, you can catch them at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar.
In my defense, those were not my thoughts. Those thoughts were projected onto me by one Mr. Steve Morrison.
Fair enough. Go and see the evidence yourself at PrestonandSteve.com. Let's get a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. What's up, Kathy?
The Vine Expressway westbound slowing Broad Street to the Schuylkill Expressway. You're okay on the Schuylkill, south 95 between Cotman and Bridge. The roadway reduced to 3 lanes, so you'll see some delays there. Martin Luther King Drive closed still in both directions, and that is until further notice. And Cherry Hill Route 70 westbound.
I'm only sick to the half your throat.
You'll see I was saying westbound, and what was coming next was Cuthbert.
Oh, okay.
That's your dad's name, Preston, according to Bill Weston.
Oh, that's right.
How's Cuthbert?
It's Cullen, Bill.
It's Cullen.
It's Cullen. Okay, 70 westbound at Cuthbert Boulevard. The off-ramp closed. That's construction until 3 o'clock. This traffic report brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Hey, Prime members, save on summer's favorite dessert at Whole Foods Market. Get 35% off ice cream through July 28th. While supplies last, find all the deals on the Whole Foods Market app. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
I'm sorry to dump on Bill, but I have to. The other day, we had a great interview with Will Sasso. I really enjoyed it. Will Sasso is a really funny actor, and I ran into Bill in the kitchen, and he said, I really enjoyed that interview with Victor Laszlo.
Victor Laszlo.
What? Like, he's not even trying.
He purposely does that.
No, but then he way over.
He
does.
Really made himself laugh.
I'm sorry, did you say vinegar instead of interview, by the way?
Did I?
Yes.
That's very possible.
Right. Yeah. I didn't hear vinegar.
I heard vinegar. Well, listen, I got crap in my ears, but I heard him say,
well, I was trying
I really
to say,
like that vinegar with...
Casey, I've been stumbling all morning. I was trying to say take care, buddy, earlier this morning, and I said taco butt.
Taco butt?
Yeah, take care, buddy.
Taco butt.
Taco butt. That didn't come out well.
And did you just keep going, or did you correct yourself?
He walked away.
He walked away. Right. Yeah. Taco butt.
He wants to put tacos in my butt.
No, sad, bro. It's taco butt.
Yes!
I did have a list here, but I forgot. Steve, you sent over this piece of audio, and I have not listened to it yet or seen the video, but I'm intrigued. And it's a little boy who reels in his first ever fish.
Yeah, it's so
is it adorable?
It's so adorable. They're on the Lake Champlain, I believe.
Did you see this, Kathy?
No.
Okay.
And the kid is just out with his dad, and the shot is on him. It's a beautiful day. He's the zeal and excitement and his exaltation results in him making a declaration that is so funny and profound for a kid of that age.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, reel it in. Give me the net. Is it pulling hard?
Yeah, it's fighting me. Oh. It's the first day of my whole life.
How hard is this?
It's the first day of my life. Oh my goodness, let's back that up.
It's fighting me. It's the first day of my whole life.
Oh, how hard is this one fighting?
Really hard.
Oh my goodness. We got it. I got it. We got it. Let's get this thing unhooked and let's let you release this one.
That's my first fish. That makes me cry.
That makes me cry.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I tell you, I did for a little while, and it took me to my third kid to do this, but I started writing down things that Caroline would say, and I meant to keep a more detailed journal or more often, but I only have like three things that I wrote down because kids, hey, they say the darndest
they
things.
They do.
Steve.
They sure do. Art Linkletter told us.
But from time to time, they will say something that's so from the heart. You know, without a filter.
Right, yeah.
And it's just, it's sometimes it's brilliant. Like, this is the first day of my life, you know?
It begins today. My joy is so pure, it begins today.
Yeah. So when you become a parent, you really have no idea what you're doing. And sometimes advice or suggestions from other people can help you. And I actually have to give credit to Bill Weston's wife. She gave me a little book. And it was specifically for that, Preston. When they say something, you write it down, and it had each day. You wrote one thing a day, and it would cover 5 years of their life. And I didn't complete every single day, but I have it pretty much filled.
Like, oh,
I have,
really?
Yeah, like that's gotta be 75% filled, and it's all stuff that Jay said from until he was 5 years old.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
And before you know it, you're an adult accusing your coworker of having sex with his dog.
That's from the David Rush video.
I haven't thought about this in a long time, but my mom still writes in my baby book.
She keeps
a timeline. Like, when I came in here and cut out my tongue ring, she went right to the baby book and wrote, Marissa cut out
Are
her tongue
serious?
Ring. Like, the first day I was probably on the radio when I first started my job here.
How big is your baby book?
Well, it's like filled with loose leaf paper. She just keeps inserting pages into it.
I have a list that I put in notes on my phone. So it's stuff that Ben says, and I'm just going to give you one.
Okay.
It's my dad talking to my son, Ben. He said, hey, Ben, there's a county in PA called Elk County. Guess what they have there? And Ben's response, mac and cheese?
Hey, you know what? He's right.
He's probably right.
That's
great. Good observation.
Probably, you know, pick it up at the local grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's funny.
It's the best. So I love that. That's a great video. And it's got, it's only got like 4,000 views on it. That'll probably take off, I would imagine, by the time it hits. Wow. Well, speaking of things... you know, that you say when you're younger, or maybe that you realize when you're younger. I saw this list, I think it was from BuzzFeed, of people sharing things that they actually learned embarrassingly late in life. These are things you probably would have figured out when you were a kid, but you held on to them until you were an adult.
You amassed them. There was just something we just had on the show. Was it Kathy who had it, or... Something similar to this sort of you find out late in life you thought something for the longest.
Well, you remember I always thought that barbed wire was Bob Wire, B-R-B, yeah. Bob Wire.
We talked about that, yeah.
I wonder how many things I'm going to learn today for the first time.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and
with this list.
There's loads of stuff that I embarrassingly late and never admit
that you can negotiate that much of your life and not be corrected on it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll give you a couple of examples, and if you guys have some of your own, feel free to jump in and let me know. But this one says, I have a cousin who quotes Yogi Berra on a fairly regular basis, and it wasn't until last Thanksgiving that I realized he's a real person, and that my cousin hasn't been admiring the words of Yogi Bear all this time.
He thought these were witticisms from the animated Yogi Bear.
From the cartoon.
Or let me ask you, is Yogi Bear the name, is he named after Yogi Berra?
That's a question I don't know.
I always assume that they took
something, but
from Yogi Berra that they use that in Yogi Bear,
okay.
Because I know he predates obviously the cartoon. This one says, I didn't know that women could get pregnant without having an orgasm.
Oh my god!
I learned that this year. I'm 26.
I got pregnant and I didn't have an orgasm.
Yeah.
26.
I didn't know women could get pregnant without having an orgasm.
Dude, I'm freaking out. She had multiple orgasms last night.
We're going to have kids.
Yeah.
Plural.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
9 kids.
This one says, I only recently found out that ponies are not baby horses, but full-sized ponies.
Yeah, it took me a while to learn that one. I think I was in junior high when I heard.
But ponies are smaller than horses, right?
Okay, hang on.
If you boil cattle, it becomes zucchini.
I didn't know that. But ponies are baby horses, too, right?
I don't think so.
Foals are
a
baby
foal horses. A foal is a baby horse, yes. Hey.
Chalk that up to something that I just learned. Today.
Can we get a bell, please? Yeah, there's one. Keep track of who
Let's
learns.
Keep count of Casey's.
This one says, I was 16 when I found out that the rear view mirror in a car wasn't actually called a review mirror because you reviewed what was behind you.
The review mirror.
That's good.
The review mirror. So they always thought that was the name of it.
Let's review what I've passed.
I wonder how many people this hits. I thought buffaloes were birds and that buffalo wings were from said birds.
Oh, my God.
That's been a common one. In fact, there was a Jessica buffalo. Simpson commercial for some buffalo sauce or something like that?
Yeah.
Some company?
Because she didn't understand also chicken of the sea.
Right.
Which was when that show was on, she, you know, thought she was eating chicken, didn't know it was too.
But they're called buffalo wings because they started in Buffalo, right?
Correct.
Yes.
The sauce, the hot sauce. Come from that area. But if you just say buffalo wings, some people might think that it's from a bird called a buffalo.
Never really thought that they were called buffalo wings because that's what they came from. I know they came from the Anchor Bar in Buffalo. That was the first place that had them.
Right.
But right at this point, I didn't attribute the name of the item to the city that they started in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just knew it came from that bar. But that bar is in Buffalo, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That shouldn't count.
How about this one? This one's interesting. I just realized embarrassing late that guys don't have to squeeze their unit to get the pee to come out.
Okay.
Really?
I thought you had to squeeze
like
it.
Like bagpipes. like you're milking a cow. Yes.
I, for the longest time, until I was probably, I don't know, in like first grade or something like that, I thought that girls didn't poop. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because my sister, sometimes she'd use the bathroom and wouldn't flush the toilet.
Yeah.
And there was no poop in there, but there was toilet paper in there.
Ah, because she was dabbing off the old man in the boat. Oh. All right.
So I thought that she'd try to poop and no poop came out, but the toilet paper.
It's got
to
be very depressing.
That was in my mind.
I can't help but notice you're constipated.
Yeah, but Kathy doesn't poop. So.
No, she doesn't.
Right. Nope. Exactly.
This.
Starburst comes out.
Okay.
Wait, this texter says, I just learned that Kathy's mom is a squirter.
Oh, jeez. Dude.
And I'm 46.
You learned this
for the other day.
It's a fun fact.
That she invented the sexual pee pad?
Yeah.
The squirt
pad. She's the endorser of it. Yeah. We learned that yesterday.
That can't be a thing. I'm just saying that right now.
Your mom will go ballistic.
How about this one? It says, when I was 13, I thought that an orgasm and an organism were the same thing. and gave an entire speech to my class at the new school about how I wanted to be a marine biologist and work with marine orgasms. Everyone was laughing, and I didn't know why.
Did I tell you guys about that when I was in fifth grade, we had a story that we were all reading out loud, and there was a character in the story named Pusey, and every kid in the class was calling him, calling him
the
pussy, the entire time. Boy. And then, I mean, that word probably got said out loud maybe 25 times before my teacher was like...
You're the very banished right there.
I think...
As you can imagine.
All right, oh, we're moving on.
We're moving on.
That was the most quiet move on I've ever heard. All right, hold on. All right, this person says they learned embarrassingly late. They said, I was 20. When I learned that white meat and dark meat come from the same chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were two different kinds of chicken.
It's a valuable life lesson.
White chickens and dark chickens. But actually, they live together
in harmony.
In harmony as one
white
single chicken.
White meat and dark meat live together on the very same chicken.
That was another one of the Kisses ballad. You had,
right.
You know, you had Beth, but you had white meat and dark meat. Which Gene
Beth
sang.
I'm eating dark meat.
How about this one? Somebody said they learned embarrassingly late in life that women don't give birth out of their rectums.
Oh, God.
I knew a few people who thought that. I think that's a common... I mean, kids probably think that, but if you're floating up around junior high, you should be brought up to speed.
My son...
When somebody says they crap out a kid...
My son said, thank you, Mom, for squeezing me out of your belly button one time. And I was like, I said to my wife, I'm like, do we need to? She's like, I think he was kidding. I hope he was kidding.
No, this was an adult that said this?
No, it was my son.
Oh, your son said
they do come out of the belly button. Yeah.
Well, your wife had a C-section.
Technically.
Though, so kind
of.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
As you can imagine. Let's see.
As you can imagine.
This person said they learned embarrassingly late. They said, I thought the phrase mix by hand meant to literally shove your hands into the batter and mix, not use a spoon or a mixer. And I didn't learn the truth until my mother found me wrist deep in brownie batter.
Oh, my God.
There are some things like dough, obviously,
well, yes, that you need.
Some
that's
dough,
needed,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But mix by hand usually means you don't use an electric mixer.
That's funny.
You do it manually.
Sure you don't want a spoon for that?
It's like in Christmas, or not Christmas, the first vacation movie, yeah.
Her arms
in the punch, in the Kool-Aid. Sure you don't want a spoon? Real tomato ketchup? All right, and this one says they learned embarrassingly late in life that Houston is not the name of the guy that astronauts talk to. Actually, the city where that is located, where Houston.
Thanks, Houston. Where's Dallas?
Yeah. This person says, and I saw a text come up of someone who says the same thing. I thought that lions and tigers were the same animal all throughout my teenage years, that lions were the boys and tigers were the girls.
I've heard that before.
Have you?
Yeah, I've heard people like realizing later on that that was not the case.
Okay. I guess I could see that. This person says they learned embarrassingly late that in-law means literally related by law. I don't know what they thought it meant. Earlier than that.
I think a lot of people on the tiger thing think that tigers are in Africa, right?
Yeah, and they're not. I mean, people just think that it's a jungle animal and they live in Africa, but they don't.
Here's one that says, when I was a kid, I somehow believed that every human has their own individual color of pee, and I was always so disappointed that mine was a boring yellow when it could have been blue, green, or pink.
Oh, my God.
Now, I don't know at what point in life they realized that wasn't the case.
Depends on what you eat. You know, Case, there's a lot of the beets in the juice cleanse.
Yeah.
And you'll get a little display.
Oh, sometimes I take these, like, electrolyte supplements when I go for a bike ride. And I pee, I mean, you see this yellow shirt that I'm wearing? I pee this bright yellow.
All right, here's one that I learned right now.
All right.
This person says, I learned at 31 that the BB in BB gun stands for ball bearing. I never put that together.
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
A ball bearing gun.
Ball bearing gun. Huh.
Okay, I gotcha.
BBs are ball bearings?
Somebody said they recently found out where pickles come from. And that goes in with this one as well. This person said, I learned embarrassingly late in life that limes weren't just unripe lemons.
I've heard that before, too.
Limes yes. aren't unripe. That, to me, goes along with the great Lauren Harris's that you can make. What was it? What was the alchemy-like transformation?
She thought that if you took a cucumber and baked it, it would turn into a zucchini.
She also cooked rice with no
with water.
No water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, she's worse than me.
So yeah. For the year 2000, we had a dinner. Oh, I don't even need to go into the story. My mom thought that lobster tails popped out. So she was making lobster tail, and she thought that when they were done,
the lobster tail would pop out.
Popped out, you know, because when they're presented to you, you know, at the restaurant, they sit on top of
the, yeah. They split the shell. Oh, my gosh. That's funny. They're not done. They haven't popped out yet. Let me get a call here. I'm going to go to Bonnie. Hey, Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First time, long time.
Oh, thank you. So, Bonnie, what did you learn a little bit late in life?
When I was a kid, I would look through my parents' photo albums, and they had lots of pictures from the 60s when they were in high school. And I firmly believed till I was about 15, 16 years old, that people saw in black and white.
That they would actually, that older people saw things in black and white?
Saw in black and white. And at some point in their lives, they would start seeing in color because all the pictures in the 70s were in color.
Oh, my God.
It makes perfect sense.
To a kid, it makes sense. I love it.
I've got a better one.
Okay.
I've got a better one than this. And this is really embarrassing. This just happened a couple of years ago. I watched the movie Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And I had never studied it or, you know, in high school or anything. And I only knew Pearl Harbor from the Brady Bunch.
Oh, really?
So they went to visit that, I think it's the Arizona.
Yes.
I thought it was one ship.
Oh, you thought all of Pearl Harbor that happened was just one ship?
Literally.
Okay.
Okay, that's woefully... That's a dereliction of your teachers.
All right, thank you, Bonnie.
Very, very, very bad.
Appreciate it.
Jesus.
Ridiculous.
No, I hear you.
Here's a text that says, I thought that Neil Armstrong literally took a small step and then a giant leap.
One small step.
I did the small step. And now I'm going to attempt the giant leap. That's great. That is excellent. I love that. Here's another one. Somebody learned embarrassingly late in life. They said, until I was about 30, I thought that Broadway was just one theater, since they almost always refer to the entire district collectively rather than the theater itself.
That's true, yeah.
So, yeah
you could see that.
The Broadway.
Yeah.
And they thought that it was a whole, just one theater. This person says, I'll bet you some people did this as a kid, thought that guerrilla warfare meant that humans were in war
with gorillas.
With gorillas.
Well, that does happen later on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once the process is complete.
Yes, once Caesar starts
Absolutely.
To become aware.
It's already happening in certain parts of the world right now.
This one says, I was about 10 when I realized that every state doesn't have their own brand of cars. Everyone in my house drove a Chevrolet, so I figured it was the state car. And that maybe Texas had Honda or California had a Ford,
sure.
Et cetera.
Well, you can tell where people were from by what they were driving.
But 10 is not too crazy late to be learning something like that. Somebody here said they learned embarrassingly late that ambulances don't patrol around like police cars looking for hurt people.
Well, you had the one of the classic ones, Kathy, was your friend who was an adult thinking about the luggage plane.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. It was, yes, she said, well, you know, when they put the luggage in that plane, we were like, what? She was like, well, the cargo plane that flies behind. And I remember my cousin was like, you're joking, right? You think the luggage goes in a plane that flies behind the actual passenger plane? And she like immediately was like, I guess, thought about it and just was like, oh, man. Like,
wow.
she couldn't come back from it. She was like, yeah, I thought that.
Well, at least,
no way out of it, yeah.
At least she admitted it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to go, have you ever seen two planes flying right next to each other? A whole, you know.
Yeah, the luggage got lost because the luggage plane got to. Destroyed in a crash.
By the way, Nick brought this up on Wikipedia that it says it's BB guns. And it says that they're designed to fire a metallic ball projectile called BBs, not to be confused with ball bearings, which are approximately the same size as BB size lead Birdshot. But I wonder if they got the name from ball bearing. I don't know.
I don't think so. No, like BB is one size, AA is a size, FF is a size. So yeah, so it's the size of the shot, the bird shot.
Okay.
So that's where it comes from. Not
we all just
bearings.
Learned that today.
Yeah, I guess so.
I told you guys this like 2 or 3 months ago about I thought the name of the song was Shiloh from Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
It's Shallow.
Shallow.
Yeah.
Shiloh.
Shiloh. Yeah.
A tribute to the Civil War.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The Battle of Shiloh.
Battle. This text says, or not a text, is from this list of things that people learned embarrassingly late in life. I was a sophomore in high school when I learned that West Virginia is a state. I always assumed it worked like Southern California or Northern California.
Right. Just West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Don't hear much about East Virginia.
No. Let's see. This person said, I didn't know that lambs were baby sheep until I was in my 30s. And I was horrified.
I think it was just like a different animal on its own?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lamb and sheep were different. This one says, I thought that the do not pass road sign literally meant do not die here, as in do not, as in don't pass away.
Wow, man, that's morbid.
I had to ask my grandpa what would happen if someone got into a car accident and died there.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. This person says, I only recently learned that a wolverine is an actual animal.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
They thought it was a superhero.
Yeah, it's like the deer crossing sign, too, going back to the
deer. How do they know to cross there?
Yeah, right. Yeah. How come they're always crossing at this particular spot?
I'm going
to
go to John. Hi, John, you're on the air. Good morning. What's up?
Hey, I recently found out a couple weeks ago that the company Dove that makes the soap didn't also make the chocolate.
Oh,
Dove soap and Dove chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yes, I could see where you might think that.
Yeah, sure about that?
Yeah.
That was just a brand name.
Is a brand now? Is there a Dove umbrella company? I don't think so. I doubt they'd want to be making soap and chocolate.
And they make umbrellas too.
Yeah.
Wow, they got their hands in a little bit of everything. All right, thank you, John. Appreciate it. Let me go to Sam. Hi, Sam. Good morning. Sam, are you there? Is your name indeed Sam? It says his son thought that the state bird of...
It's Tim.
Tim.
Oh, hey, Tim. Tim, Sam. Hey, what's Tim. Up, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, we were recently driving, and we were going through some history, and I told, I asked my son, hey, what's the state bird? And he looks at me with this goofy look in his face and says, Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh?
As Pittsburgh, he thought it was.
He thought the city was called Pittsburgh, so therefore that's our state bird, the Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh.
That's all sorts of wrong.
In kid logic, that
makes sense, yeah.
All right, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Yeah. Nick looked up the Dove toiletries.
It's different than Dove chocolate.
Okay, yes, well, you would imagine.
This has just been confirmed.
Okay. Yeah.
This says that this other one person noted, when I was younger, I used to think that people only lived until age 40. Mostly because my parents got more and more anxious as the closer they got to it. Because 40 was always the, you know, celebrated as your
I gotcha. All right, yeah, the point of termination, like something like, remember the movie Logan's Run where they died at, what, 30 or something like that?
Oh,
yeah. They,
I've heard this one before, this text.
It says, hey, when I was little, I thought the no outlet sign literally meant once you go out down that road, you can never come out. So someone new had to bring in groceries, et cetera, every single time.
Yeah, you're stuck once you go in.
And how old were they when they found out?
I was little, yeah.
Okay, because those are kids' things.
Right, right.
To be an adult and think that, you should be committed.
This is great. This person said they learned out too late that they thought the phrase prima donna was pre-Madonna, and that it referred to a singer who embodied the era before Madonna.
Right. Pre-Madonna.
So she's pre-Madonna.
Yeah. She's pre-Madonna, post-Milli Vanilli.
It would be post-Madonna, pre-Madonna. Wow.
Post-Malone. There you go.
Yes, it's everything after Malone.
After Malone, right. Yeah.
All right, and this last one says, I was at least 11 when I figured out that elbow grease isn't a secretion that comes from your elbows when you clean things vigorously.
Right, you start to produce grease out of your elbows.
A little elbow grease in that. Wow, okay. This one I don't understand. I'm going to go to Steven, and then we got to take a break. Hey, Steven, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? You guys rock.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, what did you find out one day that you realized was simply not true?
One day when I was like 5 years old, I was I walked up to my dad with a paddle ball in my hand. And I asked him, what is this? But at the same time I asked him that question, my mom asked him what he was making for lunch, and he answered, tuna fish. So for about 15 years, I thought a paddle ball was called tuna fish.
Dude.
And I only found out when I brought it up to a friend at school that it wasn't called tuna fish.
So how old are you at this point when you tell your friends you think it's tuna fish?
What was that?
How old were you when you said to your friends you thought it was tuna fish?
I'd say about like 16 or 17.
Okay. Oh my God.
Wow.
That's funny.
Oh my God.
That reminds me, there's this poet, and I follow him on social media. His name's Steve Koizen, or no, I'm Shane Koizen. And he does this big, long, he does spoken word poetry. Right, yeah. And he tells this story about when he was a kid, his grandparents used to call pork chops karate chops. And so that's just what he thought the names
right.
of this dish. He thought they were karate chops. And I guess he had a bruise one day at school, and the counselors came in and asked him about it. And they're asking about his home life, and they're asking about dinner or something like that. And he said, yeah, my grandparents give me karate chops. And so they called him. They thought he was being abused. And he and the students found out about it, and he got bullied about it. And he says to this day he cannot eat pork chops.
Sure, traumatized.
It absolutely had killed it for him completely. So it's funny the things that you think, you know, they're one thing, then you find out another.
It gets ingrained in your mind.
Yeah. All right, we need to break. We got some stuff to get to, but I don't want you to go hungry. I have some $25 Jersey Mike's gift cards to give away. I'm going to give away two of these, and we'll take callers 15 and 16 at 215-263-WMMR. We will give them to you. You can order Jersey Mike's through the app for no contact delivery or no contact at the door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. So callers 15 and 16, we're going to take care of you. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Yeah. Live, you ask.
Godsmack. The Killers. What's it gonna be? Green Day. We just keep on
dreaming. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Let's take another trip through the files.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by HERS. You can pick up specially marked bags of HERS today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. HERS, forever good. A lacrosse man was in court Tuesday in connection with three incidents, including one in which he was accused of assaulting another man with a croquet mallet.
So he's from lacrosse and he's using a croquet mallet?
That's correct, yes.
That doesn't seem right.
Carlton L. Jack was charged with substantial battery and possession of narcotic drugs. According to the complaint, Jack got into an argument with another man in a garage. Jack grabbed a crescent wrench and then a croquet mallet and hit him with the mallet. The man told police that he didn't think he lost consciousness but was unable to remember anything else until he was sitting on a cot with blood gushing from a head wound.
Just passing by.
He needed stitches for his head wound and had a sprained thumb and possible broken ribs. Police noted a circular abrasion on the back left side of his ribs, and of course that was from the croquet mallet. You know, in the Shining, in the book,
yes,
it's not an axe; it's a what's called a roque mallet, uh-huh. which is a version of croquet.
And that's what he's coming after everyone with?
Yeah, and in fact, he almost beats himself to death with it, which it's a completely different story than the movie. But, yeah, those mallets can be pretty brutal.
How is his croquet game in general in that book?
We didn't learn that in the book, but I'll bet he was a master.
Damn good.
A man is charged... Oh, this is terrible. This is a terrible story, but it needs to be in the Bizarre File. Charged in the death of a homeless man, Keontae Jones... can be heard in video laughing at Larry Connor, who is 55 years old, after Connor sustained an injury that would kill him, Las Vegas police say. Now Jones is facing time behind bars. Cops cited footage posted to Facebook. All right, so this guy put this on Facebook. It showed the man, identified as Jones, narrating as Connor was trying to do a backflip for $6. He's paying this homeless guy $6 to do a backflip. He did it for a Facebook video. The victim attempted to maneuver twice, but only did cartwheels. He tried one more time, and this time he launched toward his back, and he didn't land on his feet. He fell and apparently hit his head and broke his neck.
Oh,
and this guy, this idiot, is laughing the whole time, and he's telling people to stay away. Now he's going to be all right. You don't need to. You know, call the ambulance or anything like that. Dude's going to jail, obviously, for that. But that's just, it made me think of, you remember bum fights and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Oh, just yeah, yeah. It's horrible.
Reprehensible, horrible human being. All right, on to something lighter. Security cameras at a home in Ontario were recording when a black bear barraged through the front door and was looking for pizza in the house. The video showed.
Pizza bear.
The video shows the bear opening the unlocked door at the home. Mm-hmm. It's the second story we've had
Absolutely.
Of a bear opening an opening a door.
This is the Jensen 413. It's in the C-series.
So he did the unlocked door. He went in the home, walked inside and rummaged through a trio of pizza boxes on the floor before exiting back out through the front door. Nobody was hurt. The homeowner says the video serves as a reminder to not leave garbage out.
All right, I'm going to spray the aerosol spray now. Okay, I can see the laser lines. I'm in.
And it can attract other wildlife, so you want to watch out because the bears are getting more sophisticated every single day.
I mean, they're opening doors, coming in, and they're actually being fairly respectful of the property.
Oh, yeah. This one even shut the door.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. Great.
He closed it behind him?
Yeah, and he fixed the Wi-Fi.
You gotta love them. Yeah. Imagine checking your security camera footage and seeing your mail slowly walk away. The creepy moment was caught on the front porch of a St. Louis, Missouri home recently. A sped-up version of the video shows the package twisting and turning as if moved by an invisible hand as it navigates across a few feet of paving to a nearby flower bed. And it turns out the package was being carried by ants.
No. Wow.
Yes. But it's not clear why.
And you can't obviously see the ants in the video.
Nope. It's possible that it contains sugar, which, of course, is beloved by the insects, which are capable of lifting objects 10 to 50 times their own body weight. So I guess a whole group of them. And Casey, look, we're looking at the video right now. Look at the fact.
No way. That's amazing.
Steve, it's like swirling around.
That's crazy.
It's moving back and forth, and it's hilarious. So,
and that's a felony, too. You're tampering with the mail.
Yeah, they found out that it was indeed ants that were moving that around. Well, drinking and then doing anything important is pretty risky. A restaurant in Alabama called Fat Sammy's recently posted surveillance footage from their business that shows a suspect entering the building while it was closed, drinking and stealing some booze and taking money from the cash drawer. The restaurant owners think that the man must have gotten drunk during the course of the robbery, as at one point in the video, he appears to get spooked and leaves behind the money and booze that he was attempting to steal. He broke in.
Totally forgot.
He got hammered.
What was I here for?
And he left everything. Fat Sammy's posted about the incident on Facebook.
He probably even paid.
Writing, some pirates broke in last night and stole all of our booty in the register and some rum. Thankfully, nobody was here. What was lost will be earned back. They at least respected the mask policy. If anyone has information on a couple of dudes with what looks like matching leg tattoos, please let us know. So funny. Face masks make it hard to tell if someone is underage. And a new trend from TikTok sees teens dressing up as elderly grandmas wearing face masks and using fake IDs to purchase alcohol.
Yeah, they're doing the part of the face that is visible. They age.
Yep. The video seems to show many having success with their prank, and they are getting millions of views. Stand-up comedian Jason Lougheed posted on Twitter, well, now that we have to wear masks, this is the best time to buy alcohol with fake ID since the early 80s.
He's right.
They are getting away with it. All right, we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap up. A Largo, Florida man was arrested by deputies last week after he was seen on surveillance video walking around the Burlington Coat Factory with his privates hanging out.
Right.
Just looking for a coat.
And I'm sort of chilly, and I can't figure out why. Your dong is hanging out.
Deputy said 37-year-old Derek Hardison was captured on surveillance video walking inside the department store, picking up a bottle of lotion, and walking around with his penis exposed.
Hey, put on a mask.
An 11-year-old child witnessed him walking through the toy section with his private part showing. They have a toy section at the Burlington Coat Factory?
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, Marshall's has a toy factory.
Okay. Yeah.
The child told their parents, who later notified law enforcement. Investigators said Hardison left in his pickup, which they later used to locate and identify him as the suspect in surveillance video.
They even have an exposed penis department.
Do they really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was wondering how much is too much of your wiener to be showing that you get...
Past the testicles.
I'm sorry.
Well, because I was wondering if, you know, you have, like, cleavage, right? Is there a thing as... Such a thing as... Penis cleavage that...
Yes, no, there is. There's not.
Okay. I think there is. But you can be elegant about it.
Right.
Are you saying legally how much of it can you show?
Yes.
Or are you wanting to start a fashion
trend? I do not want
he
to start
He wants to go to department stores and expose himself, but he wants to be respectful.
I want to be respectful.
What if it's just your pubic hair?
Right.
You know, if you just pull down your underwear and just your pubic hair.
Would that be a violation?
Would that be considered genitalia?
What if you're firing a Roman candle out of your exposed rectum?
Mm. Right, because you see, like, listen, for people that actually have, like, you know...
But you're at TJ Maxx.
Good bodies and stuff like that. You know, they have that the V and all that.
That is the rule, that if you have a good body, you can expose your penis to anyone.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I didn't know that rule.
Maybe we just summed it up. And with that, we'll take a break.
It's an obscure rule, but it's there.
We're going to come back and we're going to ask... A lesson question from today's show and give a prize away. Trash and music news as well. Stay down.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today being a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to give away the Word of the Week prize at the end of the program. That's coming up not too far away. But before that, we have some other things to give away. We're going to do the lesson question. We have 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers to give away for the correct answer to this. I think I got to go with this. Who did Helen Mirren play in Revenge of the Nerds? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that, okay? Who did Helen Mirren play in Revenge of the Nerds? 215-263-WMMR. You'll never guess it. You had to have heard it. So let's see if you were indeed listening. Call in now. While you're calling, we're going to do this. The trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. Let's see what stories we get today. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been discharged from Johns Hopkins Hospital. After a brief medical scare, the 87-year-old Supreme Court Justice reportedly sprained a muscle performing an iron cross. Which is amazing.
Hey!
Very difficult. Winona Ryder and Vanessa Paradis did not need to testify in person on behalf of Johnny Depp because his lawyers believe they have more than made their case. Said one of his lawyers, quote, "The defense really crapped the bed once it was revealed that Amber Heard crapped the bed."
Oh, my God.
And finally, Sophia Richie and Scott Disick are reportedly working things out after their split just a few months ago. Richie admits to being a size queen and says Disick is the biggest dick she knows.
Oh, wow.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's see if we can find an answer to this question. Who did Helen Mirren play in Revenge of the Nerds? And I'm going to go to Pete for the answer. Yo, Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy Friday.
Yeah! Same to you, brother. All right, so who did Helen Mirren play in Revenge of the Nerds?
That would be Booger's mom.
Booger's mom. Hang on, Pete. We're going to give you a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers showroom at the other corner of 8th and Walnut is now open for appointments only. So go to IHateStevenSinger.com to book your appointment today.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, and it is brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat, and the hometown favorite. Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon from their family of owners to yours. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. We'll start with news on the Killers. They will release a new album called Imploding the Mirage, and that will be August 21st. This is their sixth studio album, and it was recorded in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and Park City, Utah. NME reports that the project features various special guests, including Lindsey Buckingham, Katie Lang, Weah's Blood, Adam Grundisio, I guess, from War on Drugs, Blake Mills, and Lucius. The Killers share the information and the album cover on Instagram, writing, COVID-19 monkey wrenched us, but we preserved. Folks, mark your calendar. So that's coming out August 21st. All right, here's an interesting little dust-up that took place online. Former Skid Row lead singer Sebastian Bach and Fozzy, wrestler, of course, wrestler, but frontman Chris Jericho, got into a full-on Twitter war on Wednesday night after Bach accused Jericho of lip-syncing his performances.
Mm-hmm.
Bach referred to Jericho tweeting, "He definitely does consider that, he definitely does, considering that he mimes to a tape." And Jericho responded with, "I sing my ass off every night, dude. Do you really want to go there?" And then things escalated when Bach referred to Jericho as Milli Vanilli and asked for a clip of him singing live. Jericho fired back, comparing their career stats, tweeting, "I have 5 top 30 singles in the last 5 years with my band Fozzy. I'm a huge fan of Sebastian Bach, who had 3 top 30 singles 30 years ago. I always admired him as a singer and a friend, and I still do." Well, after tweeting Bach that the gloves were off, Jericho added, "I've seen the derogatory comments towards me from somebody I consider to be a friend. So with that in mind, I'll be happy to have a sing-off with Sebastian Bach. No effects, no tuning, no BS. Boz is great. He's a great singer, but I'm better. You've got my number, dude. Call me."
You don't want to screw around with him.
Yeah, Bach claimed he texted Jericho with no response, tweeting, "Where is the derogatory comment? All I ask is to see one single clip of you singing live. Every clip on the internet is you miming to a tape. I will sing your effing face anytime."
I will sing your effing face?
Yeah, okay. Sing in your effing face anytime. "Wrestling is not rock and roll. I will show you effing rock and roll." Well, after after a few more tweets back and forth, Bach ended it by tweeting, "I'm not going against anybody. It's obvious between the two of us that one of us is copying the other as far as being a rock star goes. I can guarantee you that that is not me." Jericho's bandmate Rich Ward jumped into the fray and defended Jericho, tweeting, "Anytime I've witnessed Sebastian's name come up in a group setting, the room enthusiastically lines up to say the worst things about him. He's universally disliked. Never witnessed a more unifying topic. He says he's always come to the guy's defense and shuts it down. Jericho is loyal and was always quick to defend a guy that he considered a friend. Seeing Sebastian publicly go after the only guy that I've ever witnessed utter a nice word about him is sad." Wow.
Yeah, I've heard things about Sebastian Bach.
Bach came out a winner in one sense. He was thrilled to see that his followers had increased to about 435,000 in about an hour, according to the singer. And he was the number 9 trending topic on Twitter at night's end as well. So they had a little crazy back and forth.
It's so weird.
Man, it is weird. All right, what else do I have here for you? Lars Ulrich spoke about America's lack of food security while in the midst of the ongoing pandemic. While appearing on Comedy Central's Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, Ulrich touched upon the situation along with Metallica's second round of COVID-19 relief grants via their All Within My Hands Foundation. He said, 1 in 6 Americans are on track to be food insecure this year, and 1 in 4 kids, which is crazy. Those are the highest those numbers have ever been. What's been happening in the last few months during the pandemic is making it even worse. It warms my Danish hard rock heart to see how many of our fans all over America are stepping up, he said. The Grateful Dead has now teamed with Nike for a new line of sneakers.
I've seen them. I love them so much.
Called the Nike SB Dunk Low Grateful Dead.
So the Grateful Dead basically invented CrossFit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
The sneakers, which come in three different colors, retail for $110. The shoes feature the band's iconic dancing bear, along with the Nike swoosh on the inside tongue of the sneaker.
You get this case?
You know what? I forgot. Are they on sale now? Because I feel like they're going to sell out. Yeah. And I just tried to type Nike twice, and the first time I typed Nuki, and then I just wrote Buke. So my fat fingers are not working fast enough right now.
They might be, Case, because I'm looking at a pair being sold now for $2,200.
Oh, my God.
Damn it.
Well, I was going to say, I'm surprised that they were only $110. I mean, I know they sell out quickly, but most of their stuff, like these special editions, are very expensive.
Here comes Pancake, our shoe aficionado, shoe collectible aficionado.
So the orange one releases tomorrow. That's going to release through a skate shop in San Francisco. That's the only
place you can get it from.
The orange one
and the Burlington Coat Factory.
I want the green ones.
They will release across the country next Saturday. A week from this Saturday.
Please remind me.
Here's the thing. They sell for $110. They're going to sell out
immediately,
very quickly, and chances are that. There are things called bots where you can pay a website to get you this immediately. You just have to pay.
What about stores? Can you? Will they have them in like Foot Locker?
I can't imagine.
They had the SpongeBob one.
So they're a skate shoe. So Nike SB is their skateboarding shoe. So they will be in skateboarding stores. So there are some, like there's one out near me that's Dogwood that's out in Langhorne, but. I don't know.
You don't know who will get it.
Right. I'm not sure who will get it. I don't think that they tell you who's going to get it.
Remember when they did the SpongeBob ones? That was in stores.
Those were the Kyries, right?
People were waiting in lines. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how they build the excitement. They do stuff like this.
Yeah, but when you get Kathy involved in music news, make sure to mention shoes.
Well,
the only time you ever talked during music news, ever.
You were walking past a Foot Locker, right? And there was a huge line.
Huge line. And I was like,
what's going on in there?
Yeah, I was like, what are you guys all waiting for? And then I was like, Jace was really into SpongeBob at the time. So I was like, you know what? The line wasn't that long. I said, do you still have kids' shoes in here before I get in line? He said, that's what we have left. So I was like, oh, perfect. And I got in line. They were like $250. I was like, he's 8. No, thank you.
That's ridiculous.
He's 8, and he'll be grown out of them in like 6 months.
Yeah. I don't get the whole crazy expensive shoe. Yeah, it's
does Pierre have connections? He's got to have.
I don't know. I mean, it's not really through the bands, but we could try to get some people. I got to dance on the dugout during a Phillies game when they did a Grateful Dead night, and I was the orange bear, so I really wanted the orange ones. And then they were like, it's only going to release in San Francisco, but it's all good.
All right,
thanks, Pancake. Thanks,
thank you, Pancake.
He knows his shoes.
The dancing bear was inspired by the Dead's legendary sound man and early LSD producer, Owsley Stanley. According to Nike.com, the new line features bear inspired detailing such as faux fur and suede upper. A frayed-like swoosh mimicking the bear's collars. And Dead archivist and legacy manager David Lemieux said in a statement, as the band's benefactor, Bear was an incredibly huge part of the Grateful Dead's ability to become who they were. They were talented musicians, but they would not have had the financial freedom to forego jobs, move to Los Angeles, and practice for 14 hours a day. The band wouldn't become what it is today without Bear's innovations and contributions. The same fiercely independent spirit from Sandy Buttocker, who's the Nike SB founder, helped create the authenticity within the skate community. They're referring to Bear. Who's Bear?
I think that's just the
who's Lou?
Who's Lou?
Who is Lou?
I think when they say Bear, they talk about they're talking about the Grateful Dead Bear. I guess maybe it's just a
innovations and contributions, though.
What?
Okay. All right.
Case, you can set a reminder on Nike's website to remind you when they go on sale.
I'm not going to be able to get in. You know, that's great. Well, listen, I can try, but.
By the way, Bear is a person also had, we talked to you
earlier
in the week.
Okay, so that's this guy I said, Owsley Stanley. Yes. Okay, so his nickname, I guess, was Bear?
His nickname was Bear, yeah.
Okay, it didn't indicate in this story.
He passed away in 2011, but it's like the Dick's Picks and the Dave's Picks we were talking about earlier.
Right.
He Stanley did the similar things, and his nickname was Bear.
Gotcha.
Da Bear.
Da Bear.
Dog Da Bear.
Da Bear. Dog Da Bear.
All right. Yeah. Stay on your bear watch. All right.
Dog Da Bear.
And that is all I have in music news for you this morning. That means we have one final break to take and then come back and wrap up our radio program for the week. We will return shortly, so make sure you stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
It's a Friday. No sad bro at all. And we are getting ready.
No sad bro.
It's Friday. To wrap up in a moment. But I would like to thank Mr. Vernon Reed.
Yay! Yay!
Living Color. I thought we'd talk to him for 10 minutes tops, something like that.
He was great.
But as is when we get somebody unexpected on the line who's a great conversation, we stuck it out for a good half hour and just had a wonderful chat with him. Yeah, so he
big music fan, obviously,
and very thankful to MMR for helping out. And I'm very thankful that Pierre Robert has arrived wearing his new headgear.
We've heard,
we had heard about this, but had not seen it yet. It is the Devo face shield.
Tuning now for that the
is
future.
Oh my outstanding.
God. It is great, excellent.
And he just
left.
White,
leave it good.
Something.
No explanation. He
forgot something.
No remorse.
He said something unintelligible, and then he walked out of the studio. Did I offend him?
But Pancake was waiting for him on the other side of the door, so I feel like they...
Oh, you know what? He probably made his cookies.
Oh. All right. So,
sorry,
anyhow.
Coming
back.
Oh, and now he's coming back.
He's come back, I guess, with the company that made the Devo hat shield.
And are you ready to talk now?
Yes.
Okay. Not only does he have the face shield on, but he's got a mask that is flashing a starry sky. I mean, that like flashing correct. Lights.
Yes, it is correct.
Where did you get all this stuff?
Well, on the box.
On the box.
I saw the Devo hat, the flower pot hat, and they're making it now with a shield.
Okay.
And Devo...
Please tell me you're going to do your whole show like this today.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
You see, the flower pot hat was designed according to ancient Zuggernaut mound proportions used in votive worship. Like the mounds, it collects energy and recirculates it. In this case, the dome collects energy.
It sounds healthy.
That escapes.
He's suffocating.
He sounds great, doesn't he, guys?
It escapes from the crown of the human head and pushes it back in the medulla oblongata for increased mental energy. It is important to wear your Devo hat at all times. Duty now for the future.
Very
we
nice.
We are not men.
We are Devo.
We are Devo.
Thank you.
That's excellent.
And the shield comes down all the way to the upper 1/8 of your mouth.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah, so that's where you have to wear a regular mask.
The Devo flower pot, which they have creatively
I love it.
Added a plastic shield to now that you can buy.
It's a great idea.
With the great Devo logo down here. And it protects you from all things, plus circulates, according to the ancient Zuggernaut, escaping energy from the crown of the human head and puts it back in the medulla oblonga.
Yes.
Oblongata.
Oblonga.
Oblonga.
Desiderata.
You have an issue with your oblonga.
Now, that's more for protecting other people, but yes.
Well, it's for protecting me and other people.
Very,
and other
very good.
People from me.
How about the flashing face mask?
So... Let's see, I can make it change colors.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That is actually very cool.
Green, purple,
Kathy,
blue.
Look.
I love it.
You're not looking.
I am. I see it.
And it looks like he has it's full of stars. It looks like he has a face full of stars.
And it makes you can make it go in different patterns. I can't see what it's doing.
It's really cool.
But it's.
Right now it's staying steady, but before it was kind of chasing, you know, it was flashing.
Well,
sure.
You go into different colors, and then you just charge it like on a cell phone charger. And this also protects you from sparkles that might be flying from, you don't want to worry about droplets anymore. It's sparkles.
Pixies
got
or
to be pixie sparkles.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
They're everywhere. Those they damn pixies, like the Japanese beetles, or whatever those things
lantern
are.
Lantern flies.
Lantern flies.
Did you get this on the box as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
It only took 7 months to get here.
It finally got here.
Yeah. Pancake said, never order anything you see on Facebook, but I see these things, and then I go there, and then it says, order it in stock. And there's the flashing one. When it flashes, it's better. I like it when it flashes.
Okay. See, that's cool, man.
Flashing different colors.
It's very stylish, yeah.
Kathy's not looking.
I love it. What do you want? I see it.
You're supposed to look at this.
I am looking.
This is very fashion friendly.
It is fashion friendly.
It's good for your omblonga.
However, it probably came from China, which is why it takes forever.
Well, yeah. God knows my oblonga needs some
something. God.
All right. But anyway,
yeah.
That is my message for the day.
Yes.
Well, that is something.
That is something.
I agree. Not every day you can wear a Devo hat with a shield.
No.
The flower pot hat with a shield. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what life is all about. You want to wear it, Kathy?
Well, no. No, it's not antiseptic.
It's got my droplets all over it.
On your shield. Yeah. I like that, though.
I love that.
Just keep it a little bit tilted forward, and you will actually cover your mouth fully. No, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
That's better. Doesn't have to be that full.
It's already steaming up here.
It looks really comfortable, and it looks clean.
Wearing Mark Mothersbaugh glasses, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you are.
He has those kind of clear glasses.
Yeah, clear frames,
the
yeah.
lead singer of Devo.
See, but
all right.
You take the hat off, you need to. You got to go get a blowout now.
Yeah. I do. Well, yeah, my hair's a wreck. But who cares? I'm wearing the Devo flower power.
Yes. Yeah, man.
And your oblonga's never been stronger.
My oblonga is rocking. I feel very oblonga.
All right.
That's great. Do you want to do the letter of the day?
Do it.
Nah.
Okay.
But okay, I will.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
T, the truth. Now it can be told, the plain energy about the energy dome designed by the ancient Zuggernaut Mound Propulsion.
Call number 8. We can use that time to burn up while they're calling in. But yes, call number 8 at 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead, continue.
Well, the dome collects energy that escapes from the crown of the human head and pushes it back in the medulla oblongata for increased mental energy.
From the Zuggernaut.
It's the 40th anniversary of the Devo Energy Dome. It's not a flower pot, often misunderstood and mistaken for flower pots, dog bowls, car urinals, lamp shades, and eventually relegated specifically for use at office holiday parties. These are holy totems, which were actually designed with a more important purpose in mind. You got it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's not like your usual car urinal.
Yeah.
I bet they make other Devo hats. Stuff.
I mean, it really would work if need be.
Yeah.
You know, for that purpose.
Pee in your hat.
Well, oh, my God.
But it's plastic.
But it's clean. It's meant to keep out the coronavirus. Right. Yeah. Just pee in it.
Droplets.
Yeah, droplets. Yeah. So the truth can now be told. Duty now for the future was one of the Devo slogans.
Yes.
And I played the first workforce block of Devo.
Did you?
On MMR. I was filling in for the midday guy. I was doing overnights. His name was Steve Sutton, and he, a very nice gentleman, a little more conservative, though, in his musical taste. And I had a letter for Devo. I go, I'm going Devo. That's the first workforce block of Devo.
Nice. Excellent.
I may need to play some Devo in our sweat set.
I would love for you to do that today.
Okay. I think it could happen.
Excellent. I love Devo.
There you go.
Boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Did you hear us chatting with Vernon Reed this morning?
I'd like to say I did. But I was in my oblonga dagata.
Yeah.
Desiderata.
Okay, never mind.
What did he say?
Great stuff. He was just very complimentary of MMR, and you would appreciate something like that. But I'm going to go to Tim, who's caller number 8. Hi, Tim, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks to you, Tim. Do you know the word of the week?
Vault.
We are not men, we are Devo!
You win, Tim. Congratulations. Hang on just a second.
And Zuggernaut.
We're going to give you a Pizeek round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. Landis Block, start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. So we will set you up, my man. Congratulations to you. Now, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that Atlantis Block is part of the ancient dome collection crew from back in the age of the ancient Zuggernaut mound proportions.
Okay.
Yeah.
They've been around for a long time.
Oh, yes, yeah, they have. And that's why they're one of our sponsors, by golly.
That's right.
G Diggity.
That should be your rap name, G Diggity. What is coming up on your show today?
Thank you for asking. Workforce Blocks of the Dave Matthews Band. We've got Queen for Brian May's upcoming birthday this weekend, and Workforce Block of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
All right, and you're doing a sweat set?
And sweat set, yes.
Excellent.
We'll be coming very shortly.
All right, I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by HERS, the official chip of making the most of your summer. And by City Auto Park, shop the summer clearance event for sizzling hot discounts. Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, City.com. And also Auto Lenders, a smarter way to buy a car. Hey, a reminder, next week one of the things we're doing is the Preston and Steve Cooling Caravan with our friends at Dunkin'. They have the community cruiser that is on the road serving up free cups of delicious Dunkin' coffee. We are going to set it up for maybe your construction site. So go to contest@WMMR.com, and you can get registered. The deadline is next Tuesday, but we're going to do it next Thursday. So just giving you a heads up on that. Also next week on our program, we're going to have Kim Fields on.
Judy!
She will be joining us, and sure we'll have some other guests to tell you about down the road. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you later, gang. Have a great weekend.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I'm stuck behind a f-ing trash truck. People, take your own goddamn trash to the dumpster at work and let me get moving on the road.
Next message.
Have you seen the weather forecast for today and tomorrow? It's no sad bro Friday and Saturday. It's glorious.
Next message.
I don't know what else I have to say to you people. You're 6 inches from my face.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.